Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
This buddy of mine is on a new show in Minneapolis, the radio station. Hi, Mark Kerman. How are you?
Good morning, Steve. Good to see you.
And he said, hey, listen, tell me what you think. So what do you do? I listened this morning a little bit coming in. Show's terrible. Okay. So what do you do? Do I lie to him or tell him the truth?
Is it here?
Not to Minneapolis.
Okay, good.
It's all how you say it. You could say something like, hey, I heard your show. And then people think that sounds like it was positive.
Right? I'm going to have Dean handle it because Dean always talks to actors after he hates their movies.
You do a show.
How good of a friend is he?
Well, he used to be really close. I mean, we've drifted apart a little bit, so that's helpful.
Yeah, that's
well, it might be a good thing for a friend to say, hey, listen, I heard these problems with the show. You might want to do this differently.
Like I have time to grade.
Yeah. Maybe he'll ask for your advice after you say you saw the show. He'll say, oh, what'd you think of it?
Yeah, no, you know.
Then what do you do?
Yeah, no, I don't know. I don't know. Like I said, maybe I'll just have Dean call him.
Do you want to continue to be his friend?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like I said, we drifted apart.
You know? Like, this might be the way to just end it.
Just end it?
Just change your number. Yeah.
Bye-bye. Mm.
I think it's harder right now because the drifted apart means it's more difficult to be honest. If you were closer to him, they could be like, can I tell you something? And he'd be okay.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point.
Yeah, you're in a tougher spot.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. Guy world, that's how it works. Yeah.
Any potential?
Yeah.
What do you see for the future? Could he do it if he listened to you and or Dean or someone?
Well, first off, I'm not a consultant, so I'm not giving out advice.
Okay.
But it's one of those things like
side hustle.
Like there's a female friend of mine last week who said, take a look at this. It was a clip of her doing stand-up. And she said, the one thing that I have to ask is, do I look fat in that dress? And, of course, the answer is no. But there's no win there. There's no win in, what do you think of the new show?
She should ask me, and I would tell her, you know what? I would go with something different.
Yeah, but you can get away with it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd block
And by the way, she looked great. So
here's what you do. You call Mickey. You have Mickey make the call. He's direct. He'll give the feedback.
It'd be great if my brother Mickey was a radio consultant.
Yeah, he's like, here's what you do.
Oh,
radio would be so
go,
much
Steve,
better.
Steve, you suck. Get off the air. Now, the other thing that hit me on the way into the, because, you know, I think about deep things coming in is I like Mondays, and I may be the only one. Am I the only one that likes Mondays? Now, my view of the world's colored.
Oh, I know why you like Monday.
Why?
Because you get to see Abigail.
Yeah, Abigail Grace and I spend the afternoons together on Monday. So that's twisted my views. But you know the day I like, the least like day for Wednesday. I don't like Wednesdays.
These are the thoughts you have on
the
Friday?
Yeah, on the end. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's always the day you
bring it. Here's the deal. I'm prepping for the show. I'm hating my friend's new show. And I'm wondering which day of the week I like best.
That's the day.
You're waiting for Friday.
You always bring John DeCasson on Wednesday.
I do?
Yeah, so that's
maybe it's him. Maybe I hate
you don't like John.
Or no, maybe he brings John to lift up the spirits.
John
is a motivator.
I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah.
Wednesday is the long part of the week, I will admit.
But everybody goes to Friday. They like Friday. I like Friday. Friday's great.
Friday's the best.
Here's the rankings. Friday, Thursday. I like Thursday.
You like Thursday better than Saturday?
No. The weekends don't count.
Oh.
Friday, we're talking about Monday through Friday. Friday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. That's the order. Friday, Thursday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Now, what day do you think is your most productive day of the week? I say Tuesday.
No, I'd say Sunday.
Sunday.
I got a lot of work done yesterday. Sunday.
What are you getting done, Mara, on Tuesdays?
I don't know. Tuesday is just, I just have a extra surge of, I feel like everybody at work is focused on a Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get reacclimated.
Monday. Have you been in this office?
Kind of. Well, most people are here on Tuesday.
Mary's Tuesdays are productive because she doesn't have to do that weekly call that we all have to do. That's why she's got that time
more
to
productive.
Do
it.
What weekly call?
More productive.
Oh, that weekly call. Oh, I know you guys all complain about that one. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Does anyone have a better ranking than mine?
Okay. What was it again? Friday, Thursday,
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. I mean, that's pretty solid.
I put Tuesday as the third, so I would go Friday, Thursday, Tuesday. Then probably Wednesday, Monday.
I never saw you as a Tuesday man.
Well, I like to. I agree with Mary. I think she makes a solid, cogent point.
Tuesday's a busiest day for traffic, too.
Productivity.
Oh, really? Because everybody's on the road.
No, that is true. Because people avoid going to work on Mondays and Fridays. They definitely go to work on Tuesday.
Kind of like just fitter away Monday. You say you're going to be, Monday's going to be the day, but you're tired, and you're like, I'll do it tomorrow.
Yeah.
You get to Tuesday, and you realize, oh, man, I'm already behind the eight ball, so you start working harder.
Yeah, but Steve's got to reconsider his own rankings here, Steve.
What happened?
Well, because you loved Monday out of the gates, and now you're putting it behind Thursday.
Yeah, now became
No, I didn't say Monday was my favorite.
Oh, you just like
rising the power.
You know what?
Rings.
You're making a good point. I'm going to go Friday, Monday.
That's how I heard it.
Thursday, yeah. Tuesday, Wednesday. Yeah. That's the new rankings. Okay. Just in.
All right, that's not bad. Yeah.
I think the only thing that's tipping Monday that's so high is the Abigail factor.
Yeah. But I still like doing the show. So, I like coming in.
But there's a show all five of those days. So
that's why Wednesday's a drag. I'm tired of the show by Wednesday.
You're fresh on Monday. You're ready to go on Monday. By Tuesday, you're tired. Wednesday, exhausted.
Full exuberance.
Big football weekend. We got stuff to talk about there. Dave's off today because he's coming back from last night's debacle. What was it, 80-60?
80-60. Didn't start out well. They were down 10-0. Kind of came back. Michigan's really good.
Need a mash unit for Northwestern now, right? A bunch of guys hurt?
Well, their best player, Vic Law, was out last night, so that was a factor. Then they've got a lot of young guys who are still learning. So,
I tell you what else wasn't helpful. Alshon Jeffrey showed up and played the second half, so that didn't help him either.
Sure. Sometimes greatest thing in sports this week.
So we'll get to all of that.
To a better loser.
He's very popular here in town, the Alshon is. But we'll do the top six after the break here.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks. Don't get
your kicks. With the top 666, sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
As you heard, top of the hour, J.B. Pritzker swears in as the new governor of Illinois today. Many campaign promises to keep, and how will history remember Bruce Rauner? Will history remember Governor Rauner? Those are questions we'll take up later in the week. Lakeview Pantry doing a very nice thing. Oh, by the way, this is next. Lakeview Pantry. 3945 North Sheraton offering furloughed government workers 2 weeks' worth of groceries. How nice is that? Need a government ID, apparently, and they'll take care of the rest.
They said
that it's usually not for this, but this they counted this as a unique situation, and they wanted to help.
Well, that's very nice. Very nice. We'll just see others step up for that. I mean, I know there's lots of folks trying to step up and do different things, but that's a big deal. Groceries. Yeah. Check one thing you're worried about.
Yeah, I was thinking who else should step up should be our political leaders, not just the pantry.
What a
novel concept.
That is an interesting thought by you.
Yeah, maybe reopen the government and stop goofing around.
Next. Biggest story politically from the weekend, and it's picking up steam now. It was oddly lagging, but now it's a big deal. Seeming confirmation that the interpreter notes from the Helsinki meeting between President Trump and Vladimir Putin are missing. Remember the Nixon tapes? The notes, the way this works is the interpreter goes in, the interpreter interprets. Mm-hmm. The interpreter takes notes. There usually is an administration official who takes notes as well, like an NSA assistant. And there was no NSA assistant. Trump and the interpreter, meeting's over. Trump took the notes from the interpreter and said, "Do not talk to any of my people about what you heard in here."
That's crazy.
How do we come up with this crazy idea that he's hiding something?
That's exactly the point. Like you, everyone's the media really out to get him. He's not doing anything wrong. You're trying to to make this political. When you do things like that are out of protocol, and you take the notes from an interpreter, which would be the record of a meeting with a political or adversary for our country, a Russian leader. That's crazy.
Of course it is.
That's crazy.
No, of course it is.
You can't do that. No one can do that. I know I feel like a broken record. The whole country is a broken record for 3 years. But you can't do that.
The NSA, that's the thing. There was a big story Friday that the FBI had opened up an investigation 2 years ago on Trump possibly working for the Russians. That's the part where I go,
And?
Because there's no conclusion to that investigation. We don't know which way it went, but we're pretty sure Bob Mueller knows what's going on. All right, let's move on. Next. Hamilton in Puerto Rico, the hit Broadway musical started a 17-day run in San Juan, starring Lin-Manuel Miranda, first time he's played it in a long time, to draw attention to the hurricane-ravaged island at the exact time that there's a growing rumor, more of a trial balloon, if you will, Yeah, President Trump wants to take recovery funds and disaster relief from Puerto Rico, Houston, and Florida and use those to build the wall.
They're also having a violence issue. There's been like a rash of daytime murders happening. Like there, people are, I think, you know, that post-recovery era, like now people are fresh, you know, like
getting desperate.
Yeah, so they've got a lot of problems.
They do have a lot of problems. Next, Sarah Thompson, congratulations. Carmen, you know who Sarah Thompson is?
I do, Steve.
I want to tell the rest of us.
Well, she's the first woman to ever officiate an NFL playoff game. That's a pretty significant
accomplishment. Oh, that was cool.
Yeah,
that was cool.
I mean,
and that was the New England game, right?
I believe it was the New England game, Steve. Yes, it was. Thank you very much, JoJo.
Winners over the weekend, New Orleans, the Rams, New England, and KC. I think your winner, early pick here, your winner comes out of the AFC. It's either New England or Kansas City. And, you know,
really?
I'm a Mahomes man. Mahomes!
You love him. Everyone loves him.
He's the greatest.
I'm an anti-Elshon guy. That's, yeah, he was.
Mahomes was limping at one point.
Yeah, but he put it together.
But he's young. You know, like when little kids fall down and they get better really quickly? You know, Patrick Mahomes very young.
Steve, I'm looking forward to, I think it's Wednesday or Thursday, I haven't seen the schedule out, when Alshon Jeffrey goes on the Today Show. Talk about...
the regularly scheduled...
about tanking that game.
Right.
There were the kickers that missed things this weekend, too, but they didn't make as much news.
That is so old. Kickers missing
things. They like... The Today Show probably won't have Alshon on it, because they only have... they like little kickers.
Bears are... Like,
cute little kickers make it to the Today Show, not Alshon Jeffrey. But I will say, I know that already people are mad at me for calling Alshon Jeffrey a loser, but he went on the field after that game, after that Cody Parkey miss. He taunted the Soldier Field audience with these... You know, putting his hand to his ear and telling he could have done so many things. He could have gone to the locker room. He could have hugged other players. He could have prayed.
Yeah,
you know, like you do. But he was a jerk. So the idea that this happened to him—that's karma.
Yeah,
where's I will give.
That's the football gods going catch this, and you don't, and it's a bounce, and it's a pick, and the game's over.
I will give $5 to a GoFundMe right now if the Prudential Building would put some Alshon Jeffrey stuff on the projected on the side of the building, like Philly did with Cody Parkey. Love to see us, if Philly wants to step up and be jerks, let's dish it back.
Next?
We have next. More Alshon.
Oh, no. This is big news. Big news. Let's go live to Carm now.
Oh.
Who made a very big move himself over the weekend that had nothing to do with sports, or did it?
No sports, Steve. Although I did, I was at the Goose Island Kicking Challenge, and I tried to kick a football. That didn't go particularly well.
Uh-huh.
But after that, I put some rose petals down in my place, Steve. I got the flowers
because
out.
Because of the missed kick?
Not because of the missed kick, but that it did somehow correlate in one weird way. But yeah, I got engaged this weekend.
Yeah,
Steve.
There you go.
Yeah.
Whoa, dude. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks, Mary.
Take the big step.
Congrats.
What's the girl? What's the lucky gal's name? And that's the first time I've said the word gal.
Her name is Chelsea.
Yeah,
she's a lovely lady.
You've been seeing her for a long time. A
couple weeks now, yeah.
How long?
Almost, it'll be 2 years in March.
And she's much younger than you, almost to the point of being illegal.
I was one of the first ones to meet Chelsea.
That's true.
Yes, Mary when you did your Dancing with the
I've
Stars
never met her.
Gig.
I've never met her. I don't think anybody here's
met her. I met her at RPM Steak, right?
You met her at RPM
Me,
Steak.
Me, you, Chelsea, Pat, and then a Bulls player.
Nico Mirotic was there. Like, all I did
Carm
was stare at Nico.
Carm was at a table right across from Nico Mirotic, and I watched them the whole time because we were in a position to watch them. And Carm was just staring at the Bulls. Like, he was barely even...
Beard kind of no beard. Yet, she said yes.
Yeah. She
had you made the kick? Had you made it? Would this change the events on Saturday at all?
I might have actually postponed things just to celebrate the kick. That's a good point, Mary.
Okay. I mean, so how did you do it?
You
laid out rose petals. Where were the rose petals?
The rose. Well, see, you know, I've got my palatial abode up there in Lincoln Square, fine one bedroom apartment. Mm-hmm. Since we've been dating, for some reason, she just doesn't like to go up there.
It's inconvenient to get to Lincoln Square.
Right, so. Right.
I think that must be what it is.
I think it's very convenient. And my furniture is outstanding. Could be a little bit old, and
all that's going to go. Accept it.
Right.
So you put out rose petals. And what happened?
I put out rose petals. I tried to get her to come over to my place. You know, I had dinner up there. She didn't want to come inside. I said, "Why don't we could have?"
Where did you want to go inside? How hideous is your your apartment. You didn't want to go inside.
I think my apartment's great. I don't know what her problem
is. I know you think it is, but what would keep her from wanting to go inside? Was there an incident?
There and she's like, there's no reason to go upstairs.
Is there a chalk line around the body on the sidewalk? Why wouldn't
she
go inside?
I can see in the background of one of the engagement pictures, there is a Sports Illustrated Cubs poster.
Yeah, we got that.
I mean,
that's okay. Why did you choose your apartment as a place to do it?
Well, because I didn't want to do it in public, Steve. That just seemed too weird. Although I did think about, like, you know, like on the board at Northwest.
You should declare your love.
Right.
Yeah. Well, public declaration of your love.
Yeah, I didn't want to do that.
So you set up the pedals. Yeah. I think you said there's a baby pictures or something too, right?
I put a couple pictures of like young Mark on the table. So I figured she would, you know, that you gotta.
She thinks she'd find that cute.
Right. Just, you know, the whole journey from little to the man I am.
Did
now,
you have
that
pictures of her as well, or was it just you?
Yeah, no, just me. Okay. I'm the prize here. So,
so far, again, stunned that she said
so
yes.
Far, yeah.
Right. So I put some flowers out there, put the ring, had a little couple candles. And
how nervous were you?
I was moderately nervous.
1 to 10. 10 being ten being a heart attack.
I'd say probably like 12. I didn't. And then we're driving, right? We're driving over there. Well, and I'm starting to think of myself. Well, what am I going to say? You know, I had.
You didn't rehearse it at all.
No. And then. You know, I got, you know, I did the old one knee thing. I gave out a couple lines and then I was like, I got nothing else.
Are there parents in the picture that you had to ask for permission?
I got permission.
Okay.
Made some phone calls.
Were they around for the day? Like, were they out on the sidewalk? They wouldn't come into the apartment either?
I scheduled a surprise brunch for Sunday.
Okay.
Classy move, right?
Okay. Yeah, it's classy. Now, what did you actually say?
Wait, did she like the surprise brunch?
I think she liked the surprise brunch.
What did you say?
I said,
you get real personal there,
know.
Steve.
I'm getting uncomfortable.
You know, love of my life, something along those lines. You know, I Googled what you say, and then I said it, and then
did you Google it like while you were there, and then grabbed it out of the printer?
He used his phone right in front.
That prompter app.
Yeah.
We were walking up the steps. I let her go. You know, it's a three flat. There's no elevator here. I let her go first. I Googled it. What do you say? And I just got a couple lines. And then I forgot what the rest was.
Did she cry?
We got some tears. We got to some tears.
Did you cry?
I got to some tears at dinner. Yes, Steve. Not because
of the check?
Yes. I was, you know, just the whole. We started, you know, and then now, you know what I didn't realize? All of a sudden, you got to like plan a wedding and like all these questions and what do you do and all that stuff. Like, I didn't even consider that. I just didn't.
Yeah, what do you think happens after the yes? By the way, she did say yes.
She did say yes.
Yeah.
I was just focused on getting that done. Like, there was no.
Yeah, I know we have to go to break, but I just want to let people know that I've seen the ring and it is gorgeous. So for those
who picked
details,
out the ring?
She did.
Yeah, good call. Yeah.
Was it an immediate yes, or was there hesitation?
I would say there was a brief hesitation.
Did she go through her phone or contacts to see if there were other options?
Were there parameters?
She probably had a Google, what do you say to this question?
Right.
So you're both looking into your phones?
Yeah. 100% true story. The highlight of the day was, well, not the highlight, but the day started with her screaming at me in the morning about, you know, you're going out, to you're doing this, I have no idea what's going on, if we're ever going to get married. It was a whole thing. That was the start of Saturday.
Wow.
I'm like, okay, and I just kind of
tough timing,
right? I kind of just smiled and looked. I'm like, I've got a surprise party planned tomorrow. I got rose petals,
and there's a chance now it won't happen.
Right
now, I'm like, go to this brewery and do this kick, babe.
I got to go to the goose salad thing.
I
just hope the duck wasn't involved.
No, the duck was there. Come on, are you kidding?
Oh.
Where will you live? You know?
Arnold the Ring Bearer.
Where will you live?
Where will we live? Well, right now she has a lovely spot in River North. I think we'll stay there for a little bit.
You're worried about wedding planning. Steve's got you moved out already into your.
He
doesn't have any decisions in this.
I don't want to.
I mean, he's just the baggage. All right. So more on this later.
Sure.
And none of these questions are anybody's business, but I'm going to ask all of them on the air.
Great.
At 6:35, we're late, obviously, because Mark's in love. We're back with the headlines next on 720 WGN.
That's it!
That's all today for the Top 6 at 6.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60-Minute Men.
Doctor.
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 And doctor. Well, we miss anyone?
He's Northwestern Medicine VP. Call Dr. Morse right now.
Hawks keep losing in overtime. Keep picking up one point at a time. Need two. So how about two tickets for you? We'll do that coming up. Free tickets for the Hawks and the Caps. You get in there. Let's get on a roll. Dr. Kevin Most joins us now, and young Jerry Most, your nephew. I think the team may have to consult him soon.
I'll tell you, he's a good kid. I think he knows more about hockey than I do, so it wouldn't be a bad move. And I could talk to Jay. Why don't you ask Jay if he could use him?
I'm not. Well, I mean, Jay's all over it. I'm sure he's already hired him, or at least made him an offer.
Jerry, part of Hockey Ops.
Right. And how old is Jerry now?
He's six. Yep.
Well, they like to start him young. So,
yeah.
Dr. Kevin Most, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, the pursuit of better health care starts
black
here.
Black lung, Papa.
So, all right. Now, a couple of things. There is a rare medical condition that came up in the news yesterday, which is sort of fascinating. Seems to be trauma-based. Comes out of China. A woman in China lost her ability to hear men's voices.
Yeah, about it.
And I think it seems to be trauma-related. It seems to be temporary, but I can think of a lot of women who may hope they get this.
Yeah, it seems convenient.
Yeah, and it's an extremely rare condition called reverse slope hearing loss. One out of every 12,000 people, 15,000 people. The weird thing is that just some of those tones that they don't hear, and like you said, there's probably some women that said, hey, if you can make a drug that will do this,
that I only
sign me up.
That I can time out and schedule.
Right. Temporary, so it does it for a while. I think many women still have this, to tell you the truth. I mean, I know women in our lives have selective hearing when we're talking.
Yeah, because we never do.
Right.
Yeah, we're completely innocent. Let's talk flu here. We had another child, I guess it was last week, could have been the week before, who died because of the flu. I think there have been three little ones in Illinois. Is that right?
Yeah, one just recently here in Aurora, a little three-year-old, which is unfortunate, but it also just brings forward to everybody that influenza is not just a simple little cold and that we really need to be aware. Even if you don't want to get a flu shot for yourself, get it for the infants that you're going to be around, or get it for the seniors that you're going to be around so that you don't spread it to them.
I think that's important because I hadn't considered that before. I always thought it selfishly for my own health was the flu shot, but carrying it to somebody that's more vulnerable is really scary.
Well, you're the one that thinks once you've exposed people to a cold, you can still come around to work. So
I know, but I don't want
to. I think we ought to get you two flu shots just so you don't expose the rest of us.
Yes.
Yeah, but Mary brings up a really good point. People often think about, oh, it doesn't work. And, you know, okay, fine. If you personally don't want to, that's fine. But think about the others around you. And those of you who haven't gotten a flu shot, when flu hits, stay away from the seniors. Stay away from those infants because you can have the influenza and be spreading it 2 days before the symptoms come out. So you have to be really careful if you did not get a flu shot this year.
Hey, Doc, we talked at the beginning of this flu season about how the medical community and vaccination, how it all works, how they predict what's going to be the strand. Do you know, as you're in the middle of the season, as we get more and more patients with flus to come out, if that worked, if the actual predictions were accurate?
Yeah. And Justin, it's a great question because people always say, did we hit it? Did we miss it? Did we hit it? Did we miss it? Well, this year we appear, at least for this portion of it, that we hit it. So a lot of influenza A right now, and it's the same strain that's in the vaccine, which is great news for anybody who got the flu shot.
And we did, thanks to you.
Thanks to you, yeah.
Yeah. But it's one of those where, oh, I want to see if it's the right or not. But you have to realize you have a two-week opportunity. But all of the strains that have been identified, 97% of them have been the exact same strain, and it's been the strain that is in the vaccine, which is really good news this year.
What's Exofluza?
Yeah, how about that? You know, we used to talk about Tamiflu. You had to take it right away, twice a day for 5 days. So Exofluza is actually a one-time drug for influenza. Same thing. You have to take it within 2 days, but you only have to take one medication, one pill. Now, people say, well, the compliance will go up and this is going to be great. Yeah, but also you're going to get hit pretty hard because it's $150, although they're giving a coupon to get that down to the same price as Tamiflu for this season.
How do you know you should take it if symptoms haven't presented themselves yet?
Yeah, you don't. You really don't know when to take it until you have the full-blown flu. So the people that are spreading the virus and really don't know that they're spreading it, it's not like we can run around and continue to take this medication. Some people in the past, as you remember, when we've had a lot of outbreaks, and if you're going to be around people, we were saying take Tamiflu just to protect yourself and others. It'll be interesting to see if people do the same with this because we don't know really how long it works.
How's the mist? We've got the mist. Is the mist available?
Well, the mist is available this year. And if you remember when we did our initial talk on influenza, it was interesting. Mist had been taken out for 2 years because it wasn't seemed to be effective, although they continued it in Europe. Well, it came back this year after it's been reformatted. But I'll tell you about bad timing. Timing for journal articles sometimes lags. So the journal article in Pediatrics last week came out talking about flu mist and that it didn't work. Well, it didn't work in 13, 14, 14, 15, 15, 16, but they reformatted it. So now all these parents out there saying, wait a second, I just had my child immunized with flu mist, and now you're telling me it's not working. Well, that was the study that showed that it didn't work that took it out of circulation. Now it's been reformatted.
And obviously the CDC and other folks involved feel that this is a workable situation, right? The mist is back.
Absolutely. You know, we're keeping our fingers crossed, unfortunately, because the CDC has said that they've looked at it and it appears to be okay. This will be a big year for flu mist as to whether it continues or it goes back.
All right, let's do this. 651, we'll come back. You've seen the calorie count on your menus, where you get engaged in restaurants or, you know, fast food joints, whatever. How about a hospital that posts its prices? Is that going to come to every hospital, and can you figure it out? Dr. Kevin Moe, story this weekend as well, Doc, that hospitals are starting to post their prices. Is that here or other places?
That's everywhere. Yeah, that's everywhere. So federal law went into place January 1st that said that hospitals must post a list of their charges.
Doesn't that keep patients in longer because they get sick when they see what they're paying for things?
Yeah, they think it was a good idea, but I'm not so sure about it. And I'm all for transparency, believe me, but health insurance has changed so dramatically over the past 20 years. You know, the old 80-20 insurance policies are pretty much gone. We all have negotiated rates, negotiated discounts, limits on sites of service, pre-authorization of tests, co-pays, high deductibles, HMO, PPOs. I mean, let's try to make it as confusing as we can for people. So even when you see a list, and you believe me, most hospitals make it very difficult to find it. They have to do it. But when you see it, it's still very confusing because it's not what you pay.
Is it the coding thing you told us about years ago? Is that part of the confusion?
Part of it is coding. So it's like especially for, say, for Medicare patients. Medicare pays a set amount for what they call a DRG, a diagnosis-related group. There's many of them. So if you have pneumonia and you're on a Medicare patient, the hospital gets paid whatever that DRG is. That's it. That's all they're getting. Now, the hospital may post a price that's three times that higher than that, but that's not what's happening. The negotiated price with Medicare is X. Charge whatever you want, you're only getting X.
So is Congress just doing this to look good to their constituents? I mean, it doesn't seem like it has any practical real good to the rest of us.
Correct. And as a matter of fact, it can have some negative things. If you think of the individual that's saying, you know what, I want to shop around. I want to see who has the lowest price colonoscopy, and that's where I'm going to go have it done. One, your doctor has to be on that medical staff, not just the hospital itself. Two, you might look at that price and go, wow, this is way too high. I am not going to get it. I am going to postpone this. I'm going to wait another year. When in fact it's covered by their insurance. So it can have more harm than good in some cases.
Doc, is a big picture question. Is this something that when you think about that system, the way that prices have been negotiated and the way that the health insurance companies and doctors deal with each other, is it time to rethink the way that payment works?
That's a great question, Justin. I think you have got so many insurance companies so intertwined, such a business around it that would be difficult to do, but it sure would be nice for the public to go back to a very simple way to do it so that we actually can make financial decisions based on our health with good information, which we don't right now. Will it change? It possibly could, but like I said, this is a huge business.
Yeah, and that's going to prevent things from going the easy way, for sure. The hard way is the only way that this seems to go down. What about sales, Doc? Maybe you could just have a sales occasionally, like all hernia checks,
$99.95. Right. Well, you know, it is interesting when you say that. You talk to hospitals and say, when are you the most busy? And we're busy, very busy in November and December. And people say, well, why? Are people getting sick? No. People have hit their deductible at that point. Now they see their deductible being reset on January 1st. So instead of having a sale, you have this onslaught of people who are trying to get conditions taken care of and treatments done and procedures done before January 1st and the reset of their deductible.
Yeah, I had a situation this weekend with the deductible, you know, not being met, obviously, in January, where because of the blood clot hereditary thing that I have, there's a particular drug that I take that without insurance is quite expensive, and it's not, the deductible hasn't been met. So I believe I won some sort of prize at Walgreens. They all came over to the window going, oh, yes, yes. Anything you want from the S scene on TV aisle. Yeah.
It is a little painful in January and February for a lot of people. Yeah.
I'll tell you what, Doc, you're not getting a birthday present this year. I can promise you that. Thank you, my friend.
You got it. We'll talk to you guys soon.
Dr. Kevin Moe, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine. And by the way, coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
An animal!
Anchors a young bear's defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Dan Hampton brought to you by the fine people at Chevy Drive Chicago, .com. Of course, also along with the playoff weekend and getting Hamp on the show here and stuff, we're celebrating this morning if you're just waking up or this is the time you normally listen. Thank you for that. Mark Carmen filling in for Dave Bennett. Mark Carmen got engaged this weekend.
Yeah. I did, yeah. Steve. Thank you. Thank you very much. Appreciate it, Justin.
There's a gallery that's going up very shortly at WGNradio.com of the event taking place.
I know you'll tell us when it's ready.
Mm-hmm. I will, so be
the ready. Lovely young lady, Chelsea, you went to the parents, got approval.
I did.
And now it's off to wedding planning, which you said earlier you didn't know was involved.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about the fact that you have to do all this stuff. Her brother asked me, so what's up with your bachelor party? I hadn't thought about that.
Mm-hmm. I have good news.
Okay.
Get the right best man.
Yeah.
It's their problem.
Oh, okay.
Now, the rest of this, you look interested during the questions that come up. Chelsea will say, what do you think of the flowers? And I just go, I don't know. What do you think?
That's it?
Well, you go with me. Let's look. You know, you end up agreeing with her. Point is, you're extra.
Yeah. I would say my side hustle is planning bachelor parties. So if you want to talk to me, I have some questionnaires, some flyers.
I would not take his opinion because he's planning a 40th birthday party in Cincinnati this summer. So
that's not true.
Well, and the last guy party you had was karaoke.
That was a good time. I'm just saying, I've done it. I have planned bachelor parties. I have a couple of questions, some demographic stuff we'll talk about.
None of my friends and or brothers are capable of doing it, so you might be my best option.
Good, I mean, I love it. I love it.
Have you thought about asking Dan Hampton to be your best man?
Hampo's in the... He's right there. I'm sure he'd love to do it.
I mean, you do the show with him every weekend. It seems like, Hamp, you would be honored to be Carm's best man.
I wouldn't touch it.
Great way to ruin a friendship, isn't it?
Appreciate it, 99.
You got engaged on Saturday, is that right?
Saturday night, yes, Steve.
Yeah, congratulations.
Thank you.
Hamp, you know, you've been married a while, so have I. You have any wisdom that you want to pass on to the youngster?
I wouldn't touch it. No, I'm teasing. Carm, he's got a wonderful, wonderful young lady, and it'll all be good. I just wouldn't touch it.
Yeah. You ever been a best man?
No. You know, and you know, I guess I could always say what John Wayne said. You know, been the best man ever.
Right. Go, I'm the best man.
Yeah.
Speaking of best men, bad transition, good transition, you could decide. But I know over the weekend on Pro Football Weekly, you guys are discussing the passing of Walter. 19 years. Can't believe it's been 19 years. I know you can't believe it's been 19 years. But, I mean, that's a tough one. And I'm thinking about you as I heard about that.
Well, in fact, the date would be November 1st, 1999, that Walter passed. And, yeah, you know, and what would it be, 8 or 9 months? It'll be... 20 years, and it's hard to believe, but more importantly, you know, I just, you know, so much of the time, I think, you know, I thank the good Lord that I had, you know, the opportunity to be around him, and, you know, and over the years, a lot of people have said, well, you know, it is what it is, blah, blah, blah. No, he was a special human being, and it was truly, you know, a privilege and to be around him, and I was around him 9 years. I played with him 9 years. So,
right.
Yeah, it You know, it's one of those things that, you know, you pinch yourself and say, hey, you know, we've all had certain special people in our life, but, you know, all of us that we had the chance to play with Walter, it was special.
Don't you have a good feeling, though, about the fact that right now Walter's pulling some practical joke on Buddy Ryan up in heaven?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. And, you know, I was thinking about yesterday, what is the common denominator in the four teams that will be playing next weekend? Well, it looks like, you know, that old quarterback thing kind of comes back to the top. You know, you could make a case that the four best quarterbacks over the course of this past season, well, guess what? It matters, and they're all going to be playing next Sunday.
Yeah. Hamp, the big news, of course, for the Chicago Bears, Chuck Pagano becoming the defensive coordinator. What do you think of that move? I mean, he's known mostly as a head coach, but has been a defensive coordinator. Are we going to see much of a change in the way that this defense looks?
I don't think so. You know, and Chuck Pagano's fine coach, good man, and it's the best of, you know, a situation. I mean, we'd all like to see Vic Fangio stay. He can't. He's gone. So, you know, Pagano is, and actually he's a little more aggressive, a little more daring than what Vic is. So, hey, for us reckless Bear fans that like, you know, the defense to get after people, this is a good thing.
The games this weekend were supposed to be the best. The divisional round is usually the best. I didn't see a lot of good football. I watched a lot of football. I didn't see a lot of good football.
Well, and again, you know, this is one of those deals where you take what you want and so forth. I just got to tell you, you look at it and say, hey, offense matters nowadays. And, you know, the great Ed Obradovich always says it, that, you know, they keep changing the rules and they're going in a certain direction. And if you fight it, well, you know, you're not being smart. They're trying to create a league where offense and scoring points matter. And like I said a minute ago, hey, you can make a case these four quarterbacks were the best four quarterbacks in football. So, you know, it's one of those things that sooner or later you got to, you know, hey, you got to smarten up and realize, hey, this is what we have to do. We have to be, you know, more proficient. And think about this. The very, you know, 2 weeks ago, the top three turnover takeaway teams were knocked out. That would be the Bears, Seattle, and Houston. Well, we always, you know, we've always said, oh, turnover takeaway, that matters. Well, not so much. All those teams were eliminated a week ago. All the good defenses, well, they were eliminated. Now, what is the common denominator? It's a quarterback, a great quarterback, and scoring points. So here we go.
Mark Carman, say hi to your friend Hamp.
Hamp, I'm just curious, how many times have you rewatched the Cody Parkey interview on the Today Show? Did you shed a tear? Apparently the Bears didn't want him on there, but he went anyway. I'm sure you have thoughts on this.
No, right there. You said the Bears don't want him on there. Look, you know, we don't need a little mea culpa, cure. That's what's so different. You know, when I played, the guy would have never went. And now, you know, here he is. What are you going to do? I just think for the good of all parties, he needs to be reassigned. And we go in another direction.
I don't see any real-world scenario where he kicks here next year, because this is too good a sports town and too tough a town to have that just become backstage news. And I said this last week, and Justin loves that we're replaying this. The clank came right after making the kick just before he got iced. Now, he should have been expecting the timeout to come, but his shoulders dropped, and he had kind of, oh, crap, I made that one. and it just felt like it got in his head. And if it was in his head then, it's certainly going to be in his head next summer.
Well, you and I both know that any time he takes the field, whether it's in a preseason game or, God forbid, a playoff game, we all know what's going to happen. So let's don't even go down that road. And, you know, hey, listen, you know, and they've said, you know, I've said this over the years, hey, it's not a right, it's a privilege to be able to play in the league. You've got to pass certain qualifications. Well, obviously, he has forfeited his right to be a member of the Bears. You have to stand and deliver. He didn't do it. You've got to find somebody that will. Yeah. And it's just that simple. And you can't, you know, and the one thing is, you, for all the people that say, oh, you're being so unfair, oh, no, no. He doesn't have to go out there and get his head caved in and fight and break fingers and tear up knees. No. You have a job. He didn't do it. He's got to be reassigned. And we go in another direction.
Yeah, from your mouth to
it's that simple.
Pace his ears. All right, last thing I have to say, I saw the rumor mill about coaches that might be coming to town. Rob Ryan's on that list. Buddy Ryan's kid, who you've been around and you know, was shagging balls for the team in 85, is possibly coming to coach the linebackers. How do you feel about that?
No, it'd be great to have anybody concerned, you know, related to Buddy on the team. You know, Rex and Rob, obviously we're twins, and they'll always hold a special place in my heart. And you know, in their own way, they've had, you know, success in the NFL. They're good coaches, and it would be great to have Ryan back in Chicago coaching, even if it's you know, special team, whatever it may be. It would be great to see him.
I find it hard to believe that at some point you and the boys didn't duct tape the Ryan brothers to the goalpost.
See, they were 17 years old, and they're trying to get me to buy beer for them when we're in training camp. I said, are you out of your mind?
It's a great Dan Hampton, brought to you by ChevyDriveChicago.com. We'll give you the picks on the playoff weekend later in the week. All right, what about Ring Bearer for Carmen? I like the idea of you with a little satin pillow coming down the aisle.
Oh, he hung up.
Literally hung up.
Hey, wouldn't touch it. You know why? Because he wouldn't touch it.
He's like, no, I'm done with this combo.
I am so working for you, trying to get you Hamp.
You clearly aren't talking to me. I've got places to be. Dan Hampton gone. It's a good strategy.
I'm looking at something called theweddingoutlet.com where I can get you a satin pillow for $46.95. Would you like it?
Sure, I'd take a satin pillow, Steve.
That'd be the first thing. First thing on the wedding planning done.
We had we got some like heart shaped something that you make pancakes with yesterday with a little spatula. I don't know if I'll ever use that.
Listen, dude, you are going to need to pay more attention.
Right?
Really?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
That's key.
That's going to keep you out of a lot of trouble.
The satin pillows are really good for your hair and skin.
Okay.
Just letting you know. So that's a good gift.
7:24. Ryan Noble's coming up from CNN. We got to do our MVPP next.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
All I want to do is drink beer for breakfast. All I want to eat is them barbecue chips.
What is this, the story of my youth? All I want is someone just to chop. Is this the Steve Cochran's family when he was a kid theme song? It's time now for the MVPP and your most valuable person on the planet. Beer-loving Chicago roommates with something kind of cool to benefit campfire victims for the campfire. Again, that's the name of the camp. It's the California Fire, is maybe a more simple way to put it. Morgan Blofsky and Sarah Malema. Is that right, Sarah?
Yeah, Malema.
Malema, sorry about that.
So, good first try.
What do you guys?
Good morning.
Good morning to you. What do you guys do? Do you work together? Are you in school? What do you do?
We live together. This is Sarah. I work at a PR marketing agency, and I work in commercial property management.
So when did this come to you that we need to do a beer rally for the victims of the California fires?
So I'm from Chico, California, which is home to Sierra Nevada. The fire destroyed the town that's neighboring my town, Paradise. So, you know, the community is really come together over in Butte County, all of Butte County, my home. And I felt very removed and far from that. And when Sierra Nevada released that they were doing the Resilience IPA, we were just kind of watching the website, waiting to see what Chicago breweries participated. And then when it was a bunch of them, we started getting really excited and wanted to go to all of them and thought that we could find a way to get a bunch of people to come with us. So.
And the best way to do that is to get a bus, load on a bunch of very generous people who also like getting a little sideways, and they get on, they pay for the trip, they have some fine beer, you send the money to California.
Yay! That's the plan.
All right, how many?
It's cool. There's 1,400 breweries involved in this.
It's going to be a long bus trip.
I know. You guys are getting
a long bus trip.
I know. Ideally, I would make this several days and we'd get to go to Wisconsin and Michigan and Indiana, but we'll visit our six and hopefully. It'll be a good turnout. We've actually sold out tickets, which is
excellent.
Which is super humbling.
Well, that's very cool.
There was definitely a point where we thought we would just be the two of us on that big bus.
I just picture...
We were really surprised how excited everyone was.
Well, yeah. It's great. I just picture your parents going, we are so proud of the beer run that our girls put together.
Yep, that's exactly the reaction.
And there's 20 breweries that are doing the brewery, so if you don't do this six with this beer crawl, you can still help the cause.
That's very cool.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Sierra Nevada's website has a nice map, too. There was someone that's like, I wish I could come, but I'm in London. So I shouted a link for a bar in London that's brewing it.
I would guess that you guys have a lot of friends you could lean on and guilt into coming. How much of the bus are your friends?
We probably are at... 50-50 with people we know
in
some form or another, and then strangers. So we're going to make a lot of friends.
But that's going to be a fun thing, and you're going to raise money and you're gonna help folks out. And I hope people get inspired to come up with their own thing, like a bank robbery run or kick some of the money in.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, they can do that as long as they send it all to California.
That's it.
Is there anything in putting this...
At least put it to a good cause.
Yes, sorry, you have.
Is there anything in putting this together that you've learned that the next beer crawl bus tour that you put together you won't do?
Actually, it's all been pretty smooth.
That's good.
The brewing community is amazing. So everyone got super excited as we started approaching them with the idea. And then Reggie is who donated the bus. Responded to our email within 14 minutes with the offer to donate it.
Oh, great.
We were just asking for a quote at the time. So it's been really cool to see the Chicago community come together to help my home community. So, everything's actually been surprisingly smooth.
Explain what Reggie's is. Let's give Reggie's a good plug.
Day of, and we'll tell you if we learned anything.
Right, when you freak out. Reggie's is what?
Club.
Reggie's Live is a concert venue and record store and restaurant in South Loop.
And that's where the bus is going to start and come back to. We're going to make sure Reggie's gets a good plug. Go support Reggie's. They're good people, obviously.
Yeah, absolutely. And we had the idea because we've taken the bus out to Tinley Park for a concert before, and they go to games and stuff, so we knew they had a fleet. So we were just asking for a quote.
You two.
Look at their bus schedule. They do a lot of fun things.
You two don't miss a trick, do you? Yeah, you're going out a lot. Listen, it's cool.
Busy girls.
Yeah, it sounds like it. It's a cool idea, and it's nice of you to do it. And there's nothing wrong with having fun while you're helping other people. So thank you, Morgan. Thank you, Sarah.
Yeah, thank you so much.
All right, hold the line, you guys. So we'll post that information on where you could help. The bus is sold out. Good for those guys. All right. Ryan Noble's coming up from CNN right after the headlines. Those are next with Steve on 720 WGN.
President, during his Oval Office speech, said professionals want to need a wall. Do you want to need a wall in your county?
No, sir. Do not. Oh, either one. Do not want one. Do not need one.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
That's a sheriff from Texas interviewed this weekend on CNN where Ryan Noble's works. And he joins us now. Good morning, my friend.
Hey, good morning, everybody. How's everybody on this fine Monday?
We're all fine. All fine in the alternative reality in which the president lives in, even though he sat in a meeting that he wanted everyone to see and said, Chuck, it's my shutdown. I'll take it. Something about I'll take the mantle, which, you know, more or less grammatical.
I'll own it. I think you said I'll own it.
Own the mantle, yes. Now, daily, hourly, it's Chuck and Nancy's problem. And this, to me, Ryan Nobles, goes to the core of who Donald Trump is. Don't believe what I say. Believe what I say now. Don't believe what I do. Believe what I say I did. I mean, that's who he is.
Yeah, and then even forget about what I said in the past.
Right.
You're very much right. In this precise moment, the words that are coming out of my mouth is what you should believe, because I think one of the most amazing things the president said this week was when he said that he all along, when he was describing Mexico paying for the wall, he was talking about how it was going to be worked out through trade agreements, and that end up, you know, the surplus that the American government would get out of that would end up being what paid for the wall. And I think we put together a compilation of like 25 different times where he specifically talked about Mexico paying and even handing over a physical check. And then all of a sudden, he's trying to rewrite history. And he's doing the same exact thing with the shutdown. He told Chuck Schumer directly, said, I'm going to own this shutdown because I care that much about border security. You know, I don't know why his position's changed now. If you admit that you don't mind the government being shut down because you're holding it hostage and you're holding these federal government workers' paychecks hostage to get your border wall, that's where you were before. Why has it changed now? You're trying to make it into something that it's not. And that's one of the reasons that we're in the longest government shutdown in American history.
Ryan, Senator Graham came out yesterday and is trying to negotiate, if you will, or influence the president to reopen the government and then negotiate and then, if you have to, call a national emergency. Is that something that the president is thinking about, or we might see here in the next couple days?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt he's thinking about it, Justin. I think he really wants to do it. And, you know, I think Lindsey Graham took a lot of heat for that, because I think, in general, congressional leaders are not enthused with the idea of an executive of any party kind of imploring this kind of break glass when needed strategy by the president to find funding. This is supposed to be for legitimate emergencies, of which no one really believes that the situation on the border constitutes that. But I don't know this specifically, but having covered Lindsey Graham as long as I have, to me it seems like he's looking for an exit ramp here. He realizes that we've reached a stalemate here, that we need a situation where President Trump can build his wall, but Democrats can say that they didn't pay for it. And the only way to really do that is for the president to exert this, emergency power and pull the money from another part of government and use that to pay for the wall, the $5-8 billion, whatever it costs. Then Democrats can say, we didn't fund the wall. The president can say, I got your wall. And then we can get back to the business of reopening the government. So I don't necessarily know if this is a successful strategy on Lindsey Graham's part, because it could lead to more trouble. It could lead to lawsuits. It could lead to basically a congressional strike where they push back against the president in other matters. But my sense of this is that Lindsey Graham doesn't necessarily think that this is what needs to be done, but he sees it as the only path forward to actually get the government back open.
The two people that could open the government are Donald Trump and Mitch McConnell. And Mitch McConnell, who is part of a 100-0 vote to fund the government with no wall money, now says he won't sign anything that the president won't sign because it's a waste of time. It's not a waste of time, because you send a message that the president is someone who needs to be heard in McConnell's viewpoint, or that the president is someone that needs to have his decisions made by someone else because he's a child. So Mitch McConnell has absolutely abdicated his authority on this, and he is 50% of the problem.
Well, he could even be more than that, honestly, when you think about it, Steve, because the simple fact of the matter is there's been a package of bills that have already passed the House that are sitting in the inbox on Mitch McConnell's desk, and all Mitch McConnell has to do, what he is preventing, is those bills from even moving to the floor. And my guess is, if you put those bills on the floor, there's probably enough votes to get them passed. I think you've got enough. There's not going to be a filibuster because Democrats want to see it done, so you only need 51 votes. My guess is, if you pull enough Democrats around, there's enough wayward Republicans, Cory Gardner, the new Senator Mitt Romney vote for something like this. So when you talk about it being more than 50% of the problem, I think the fact of the matter is that he's the only one that's holding this process up, because theoretically, you get that package passed, you send it over to the president, and then he is faced with a difficult position of actually signing a piece of legislation, which he has not been forced to confront that yet. So I do agree with you that I think McConnell is a big part of this. And I was at a protest last week of government workers. And you can start to see that angst against Mitch McConnell start to bubble up. People kind of know that this is Donald Trump's act. This is how he got elected. But Mitch McConnell's supposed to be somebody that knows how to handle situations like this. He bragged to Dana Bash a couple of years ago about how he's the guy that prevents shutdowns. And here he is right at the center of it, and he's one of the biggest barriers to getting the government back open.
Ryan, switching topics, Michael Cohen, the former Trump lawyer who was sentenced to prison, is going to testify in front of Congress. This weekend, the president went to Fox News and gave an interview in which he kind of hinted at the idea that he had some dirt on the Cohen family. But Democratic lawmakers came out really strongly yesterday saying, you keep this up, and we're going to look at obstruction of justice.
Yeah, I mean, they basically laid it on the line and said that if you get in the way of this hearing, that that's tantamount to obstruction of justice, and we're not going to take it lying down. And, you know, there's been all these whispers about potential obstruction of justice. People think that's what Mueller could potentially be investigating. But this is the first time you've really seen an official document from a member of the government come right out and say, if you mess with this, Mr. President, this is obstruction of justice. And essentially what they're doing is they're laying the groundwork for if he does get involved in it, that it could become a bigger problem for him. But, you know, I thought the most revealing part of that Jeanine Pirro interview, not to change the subject, Justin, was when she specifically asked him outright, have you ever worked for the Russian government and do you now?
Yeah.
And the president answered, that's the most insulting question I've ever gotten. He didn't say no. I don't know if we should read too much into that, but to me, that was one of the most kind of jaw-dropping moments in that interview.
And it leads to the two bigger stories of the weekend. I think as big as a shutdown, even though I feel for these people that are going without money and freaking out, rightfully so. When we come back, I want to talk to you about the story breaking from the weekend that the FBI has an open file on the president working for Russia. And the missing interpreter notes. Also, Hawks tickets coming up. More with Ryan Nobles in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
$7.55, Ryan Nobles from CNN, hardest working man in the news business. And rejoins us now. You can follow Ryan on Twitter. What's your handle there?
Ryan Nobles with one N, RyanNobles.
All right, so over the weekend, two big stories broke. The one that I think is bigger than the other is actually getting less publicity until today. So let's go with the one that had everybody talking this weekend, that the FBI opened a file on whether the president of the United States was working for Vladimir Putin and the Russians. It's an unbelievable, crazy thing to have to say, but completely believable by people. I was at a party Saturday night, because you know me, Ryan, I'm that kind of guy. And the number of people that said, I don't understand why this is such a big deal. I thought they were doing that the whole time. So I don't know that the public is caught up in this, but this is unprecedented.
I mean, it was pretty amazing to me when I started reading it. I actually read the first couple graphs to my wife to kind of say it out loud, because it was hard to kind of wrap my mind around it as I was reading it. And I see your point, too, about your friends at your wild party, that, you know, kind of if you're taking this all with a fire hose and only getting the top lines, this would probably be, if you put everything together, what you'd expect would happen. But the idea that the FBI, the main law enforcement agency of the federal government, was investigating a presidential candidate and then president as potentially being a Russian asset, right. I mean, this is something that is beyond reason. And, you know, I took a step back when I initially read this, because I do think that there is some truth in the idea that Republicans complain all the time that it's hard to get stuff done with President Trump, because there's a lot of people that will just not work with him because they don't like him as a person. And so much of what people think about President Trump is colored by their own perception of him. So I kind of just tried to read this as if Donald Trump weren't the main character in all of this. And there's actually a pretty good editorial by Max Boot, who's a CNN contributor, a former Republican, now has become a pretty big Trump critic, on the Washington Post, where he outlines 18 different specific reasons why he believes there's reason to think that President Trump has been co-opted by the Russian government in some way, shape, or form. And when you look at that and just kind of the cold reality, it does certainly begin to make you ask questions. I mean, I just think the one caveat we have here is that just because someone opened a file, that doesn't necessarily mean that someone is guilty of this crime or these accusations. But still, it's just unbelievable. And again, it seems like we say this all the time with this presidency. If you wrote a movie With this being the plot, I don't think anybody would go see the movie because it would just be too unbelievable.
Right, without question. And the bigger story to me, and the one that the president could clear up immediately and has chosen not to, which says something about the story and its truth, is that the president, after the Helsinki meeting with Vladimir Putin, in which he insisted no one from the NSA attend, and he only had the interpreter with him, took the interpreter's notes and said, don't tell anyone else what was discussed here.
I just don't understand. And I think you hit the nail right on the head. If he doesn't have anything to hide, and if there's nothing wrong here, why can't he just clear this up? Why can't he just say that there wasn't any sort of conversation that had anything to do with me helping Vladimir Putin out in a way that I'm not supposed to?
And here's the notes that I've handed over to my team.
Exactly, yeah. Right. I mean, I just don't know. You know, I guess it's possible, and I think, you know, maybe there's other presidents of the United States that we would trust that he needs to have so secret of a conversation with another world leader because it's protecting national security in some way, shape, or form that we aren't aware of.
Right.
And perhaps that's the trust that you put in a president by electing him.
No.
But I don't know if this president has necessarily earned that trust. And the other thing...
It's never been done!
That,
it's completely unprecedented again. It's never done.
And the idea that you would hide this information from, you know, your top advisors, the people that are supposed to help you digest this information and then analyze it and then use it to help American interests, and you just decide that you don't need to do that is beyond, I think, a lot of people's understanding. And then the other thing I thought that was interesting about that article was that generally what happens is that after meetings like that with world leaders, that information is then given to intelligence officials so they can then go into the field and hear what the chatter is around the world to find out exactly how foreign leaders are using that information, and they were not given that. I mean, it just shows a level of suspicion from the president, not only with his own intelligence and the FBI, but then exactly what kind of conversation he was having with President Putin. It just really is. I mean, I've said this like three times today. It's just unbelievable,
right.
And I don't know if we'll ever really truly understand what he was trying to do here.
It'll all be in the movie starring Kiefer Sutherland. Ryan, thank you, my friend. Enjoy the day.
No problem, guys. We're digging out. It's like we're in Chicago today. A lot of snow.
You got 10 inches. We got nothing. So come here for the tropical weather.
All right, guys. Have a great week.
See you later. Yeah, Washington, just under almost a foot of snow. Here's your Hawker riddle. First correct caller, 312-981-7200, if you know the answer to this. An Evansville grad, an Illinois son. He coached for one team 20 years, plus had one. Drafted at 4, the same number he chose. Playing 10 years in stadium hose. Who am I talking about? You look confused, Mark Carmen. You need to hear it again. You're an NBA guy.
Yeah. Do it. Oh, we're talking about a... Give him one more time.
Maybe that was a hint, wasn't it? An Evansville grad, an Illinois son. He coached for one team 20 years plus one. Drafted at 4, the same number he chose. Playing 10 years in stadium hose. 312-981-7200.
I got it.
If I had not said NBA, would you have it?
I thought I was thinking Blackhawk. Who wore number 4 for the Blackhawks?
This is a pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play the Washington Capitals this Sunday, January 20th.
It's understandable.
Courtesy of Four Seasons Heating and Air Conditioning and Plumbing.
Is it
for all the right reasons? Four Seasons.
Find
them online at fourseasonsandcooling.com.
SeasonsHeatingCooling.com. I thought it was Andres Nocioni.
It's not Noach, not that era. You got to go back a little bit here, team. You got to go back to the...
It's not Noach.
312-981-7200. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom, where Steve is next. Just out of the news, the winner is Tony. Hey, Tony, huh? Tony knew we were talking about Jerry Sloan with the Hawker riddle. What did he win there, Sandberg?
A pair of tickets to see the Blackhawks play Washington Capitals this Sunday, January 20th. And we're giving away a second pair from Four Seasons all season long. Listen to the Roe and Anna show. Rokan show with Anna DeVolantes for a second chance to win tickets at 4:40 today. And the Mark Carmen photo gallery is up at WGNradio.com.
Yes.
And all our socials if you want to see his engagement.
Sweet.
Is there any video? Did you set up some video live Facebook for this to happen?
Yeah, there was no video in the situation.
You know what?
We'll do the live recreation later when you get her on.
There you go, the live recreation.
She's not texting back. I've thrown out times. Nothing's
coming
back. It's
already started.
Okay.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah, honey.
Dean Richards is standing by. Good morning, Dean.
What up?
How you doing, bud?
Great. Did you have a nice weekend?
Busy nice weekend, but yeah, nice weekend. You know, there's a neighborhood party Saturday night, a going-away party, and I want to wish the Wrights, Mike and Kim Wright, well. They're moving to Austin, Texas. Obviously, the feds have finally caught up to them. They're on the run from the law. But
wonderful people who know you, who live near you, suddenly move.
Wonderful people. Nice time at this particular party, and a lot of work yesterday. And I know you were in New York until Saturday.
I was in New York Thursday and Friday.
Oh, Thursday, Friday.
And then I came back because it was my mom's birthday on Saturday. We had a nice little party for her.
And she went nuts, I'll bet, right? All night rave?
She, well, not as crazy as usual.
Uh-huh.
After she got done, you know, shoveling the snow at my house, she was, you know, a little bit tired. Come on, 96 years old, you still got plenty of energy for that sort of thing.
I gave Dean a good idea, I thought, because I did this with my grandmother when she turned 100. Take her to Chuck E. Cheese and let her play in the balls.
Yeah, that's smart. Cheap, too.
Nice. You didn't do it, though, did you?
No. Balls were not involved in any way in the celebration.
In the case of my grandmother, the problem was she would clank the other kids in the head with her walker, and that made the balls less fun.
She had a nice time at the party.
Well, that's great.
She
good for
enjoyed
her.
Enjoyed herself.
A lot of friends and family and...
sort of, yeah.
Larry come by?
Larry Potash?
Yeah, huh?
No.
Well, that seems odd.
Well, I would imagine she doesn't like when you get her Christmas stuff, so she probably doesn't like a big to-do about her birthday.
Well, she liked that we all got together.
Yeah, that's the thing.
Family getting together is the only gift that she needed. It was the exact right. quote.
I don't want to make a bother.
Yeah, which was a good thing because I didn't get her anything. So
I'll get her next year.
I've learned after being yelled at for all these years. Don't get me anything. I have everything I want.
I'm telling you, my mom, did your mom ever do this? My mom used to go, whatever I got her, I'm saving it for best. Right. And I go, Mom, best is today.
Yeah.
Best is right now.
Yep.
So
she's got a closet full of stuff like that.
Well, teach her a lesson. Take it and sell it.
Like, I don't want to use it. I don't want to ruin it. I'm saving it for a fancy occasion.
God bless her.
Go to any fancy occasions. Wear it now.
God bless her. Yeah. I'm glad she had a good birthday. And we got a bunch of stuff to get through here.
Oh, what a list.
What a list. What a weekend.
We have 10 pounds of entertainment and only a 5-pound bag.
We have a dueling engagements, Dean.
Dueling?
Dueling.
Who else got engaged?
Mark Carman got engaged this
weekend. Get out of here.
To the lovely Chelsea.
Thanks, Dean.
That's fantastic.
You can see a photo gallery.
Getting around to the congratulations.
Yeah, there's a photo gallery at WGMradio.com.
Oh, how did you do the proposal?
Begged.
Very, very poorly, Dean.
Crying.
Please marry me. I did the very best I could, which was not that great, but we got through it.
Look, the bottom line is she said yes.
Yeah.
So, very happy for you, man.
You didn't put the engagement ring in Jell-O or, you know, like those nutty things that people do.
Well, she's not a golden retriever. You don't have to hide the medicine.
And where's the picture of the ring?
Put the ring in some applesauce.
WGNradio.com is where you can sell the pictures.
But there's
of
no
the
pictures
occasion.
Of the ring on there.
She hasn't approved that, right?
Oh.
Isn't that the deal? No, the ring's approved. Picture's approved. She's coming on,
I didn't add the ring photo because I didn't know if I was allowed to.
Yeah,
oh,
gotcha.
You can add that.
I'm allowed to?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, the gallery will have an update with
Thank
the ring
you.
Photo.
Excellent.
And by the way, after the wedding day, I can speak for Dean and Justin and all men when I say this. We want to see your ring.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Do you wear your ring? That's a big talking point. Okay, fine. Isn't it uncomfortable?
No. Well, when you play 16 in softball, you don't want to wear it.
Right.
That's the big thing.
What about...
Doesn't affect my golf swing.
Hoops? Tennis? I can't be wearing a ring around. No. Yoga?
And what's that fake ring that men are wearing all the time now?
Women have them, too. Those, like, athletic rings?
Yeah.
Yeah, for if you're doing activities.
Oh, yeah, the athletic rings.
Exactly.
Yeah. What's that cheating website? I think you get them there when you sign up.
Right.
Now, here's what I'm gathering by looking at the pictures. It looks like Mark romantically put rose petals, a trail of rose petals.
Big time move, Steen, right?
Yeah, very nice.
Thank you.
But then it looks like you made her clean it all up.
Well, she... just willingly got excited and just wanted the rose petals.
Rose petals. Oh, romantic. It's leading somewhere.
She wanted to save them. And then there's a picture of her cleaning.
Like, get down there on your hands and knees and clean this up.
Nothing says life together forever like a dustpan.
I took the picture when she was on the ground cleaning the rose petals, Steve. Yes.
You know, it's a good thing to remember, a line of demarcation. This is the first time since the engagement she was disappointed in you.
Right. Yeah.
That's a very attractive young lady. Yeah. Chris Pratt got engaged as well this weekend. Seems like just yesterday he and Anna Faris blew up.
2017, to be exact, Steve.
And he's engaged to Arnold Schwarzenegger?
He is going to be... Arnold Schwarzenegger is going to be his father-in-law.
How would you
like that?
Oh, boy.
That's got to be a little uncomfortable.
I'd like to ask him for permission.
Yeah, well, I... You know,
no!
You'll be back.
I just ask him about Kindergarten Cop. I love that movie.
Yeah, boy, nothing smooths things out with the in-laws like bringing up bomb movies.
Hey, we got a little controversy. One of our former producers who also got engaged with rose petals is accusing Mark of stealing his idea.
Who's a former producer?
Mike Jacobson.
Oh, get over it.
You can also see photos of that engagement at WGNRadio.com.
Mike, trust me, Mike, you get a job back here, I'll throw Carm under the bus in a New York minute.
Wait, are you saying that that Mike and Mark got engaged?
Well, it didn't work out.
Oh, okay.
That's why they both moved on.
I know nothing about Jacobson's rose petals. This was solely my idea. No one's ever thought of this. It was all me.
Right.
First time ever.
So Chris Pratt, Catherine Schwarzenegger. Isn't she about 14?
She is not 14. She's in her 30s.
Oh, is that right?
She's a very accomplished author, in addition to being the daughter of Murray Shriver and Arnold Schwarzenegger. Couple have been dating since last June, and overnight Chris Pratt put on Instagram, because this is the way that you do this now, you get to tell everybody, he Instagrammed, "Sweet Catherine, so happy you said yes. I'm thrilled to be marrying you, proud to live boldly and faith with you. Here we go."
Okay.
And I don't know about you, Dean, I think he looks a little bit tired in that photo.
Well, I mean, she's so much younger. Of course he's tired.
He's got like a little bit of a bag under his eye. His eyes are closed, but
There's nothing wrong with bags under your eyes.
Not the most attractive photo I've seen of him. Yeah. He's a very handsome man.
But ring is very nice as well.
Yeah, so congrats to those crazy kids.
We'll come back with Dean's favorite awards, the Critics' Choice Awards, other than the Moron Awards. Carole King, Game of Thrones, Lin-Manuel Miranda, and the Super Bowl, all in the news.
Say now, baby.
The Steve Cochran Show.
Oh, my mind on play now, baby.
On 720 WGN.
Say now, baby.
So, Dean, I could be wrong about this, but as I understand it, Maroon 5 is hosting the Oscars?
Yes, that is correct. Moron 5 is the correct pronunciation of that.
Would have been so cool if we got him, because we could have called him that.
Moron 5?
Yeah, Moron 5.
That's how I understood that it was always pronounced.
Super Bowl's halftime entertainment has finally been announced. Maroon 5 and
officially,
who?
Officially. But these are all the names that we... have been rumored for the last 3 or 4 weeks, just now that the NFL has said, yes, this is official. It's Maroon 5, the headliner, rapper Travis Scott, and Big Boy from Outkast.
Yeah.
But Travis Scott said that he'll only perform if $500,000 is donated to a social justice group called Dream Corps. So there's a lot of controversy about rappers in particular who turned down invitations to perform at the Super Bowl because of the Colin Kaepernick national anthem controversy.
So if they make the charitable donation, but we still don't know, because we've heard this in the past, where acts and or labels have to pay for their artists to perform because it's such a big stage.
It's my understanding that the performers will be paid, not the other way around.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. Well, thanks for your Cracker Jack.
Super Bowl is February 3rd, by the way.
Okay.
Wanted to get your invitations to me in the mail for that big Super Bowl party.
Right. Or the tickets. The tickets and the airfare.
Oh, yeah. That would be nice, too.
Critics' Choice Awards. Now, this is an award show which is actually good, right?
Yeah, it's a pretty good award show. It's put on by the Broadcast Film Critics Association.
Well, that'd be you.
I am a voting member of this body. It's entertainment reporters all over the world, really, that participate in this. And we vote for our favorites, although I have to say I did not vote for the movie that wound up winning Best Picture. Apparently more critics than me thought that Roma is the best picture of the year, the Alfonso Cuarón movie. In fact, it won 4 awards, more than any other. Last night it won for Best Movie, Best Director, Best Cinematography, and
all subtitles.
Best Foreign Film. It's a black and white movie that is in Spanish. Beautifully photographed. It's a very nice film. I like it. I just don't think it's the best film of the year.
It's too much work.
But my other critic colleagues, outvoted me.
I think our listener, Rena Kalenka, former teacher at Carmel High School in Mundelein, she lives in Mexico, and she went and saw it, and she enjoyed it.
Well, I mean, it's a nice movie. She could tell me about it.
Yeah. She speaks Spanish also, though. Yeah. I think that's helpful.
Yeah. I can arrange for you to see it, Steve.
I'm good.
Christian Bale won Best Actor. They had a tie for Best Actress. Glenn Close from The Wife and Lady Gaga tied, and both won Best Actress. Mahershala Ali and Regina King, just like the Golden Globes, won the Supporting Actress.
They should have had a sing-off. Lady Gaga and Glenn Close should have had a sing-off.
To break the tie.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I like that.
Carole King did what?
Well, you know, people go to see this musical, Beautiful. Which is great. It's a story about the life and career of Carole King. People, excuse me, over the weekend went to see it in New York. And we're surprised when, at the end of the production, you know, the final number in the show is her song, Beautiful, when Carole King actually came out on the stage.
She sang it?
And sang the song, Beautiful.
How cool is that?
Knocked it out of the park. She sounded fantastic and then joined the cast for a curtain call singing I Feel the Earth Move Under My Skin. It was the 5th anniversary of the show, and she wanted to do something special to commemorate it.
Game of Thrones?
They put out...
You all right?
I do have...
You got a tickle?
I have this, you know, this cold for the last couple of weeks. I feel fine, but...
There's a water fountain out in the hallway right outside the newsroom. You want us to wait?
I think that may be what's causing the coughing.
Okay.
The filthy water.
Well, you know, just go ahead and try to fight through.
I'm okay. I'm a professional.
Game of Thrones.
Game of Thrones announced when the final season will begin. It's going to be April the 14th.
Is that the one they're going to finally make the show funny? Because I got to tell you, it's not funny at all.
It's going to be musical, as it turns out. Who knew that the last episodes are all going to be musical? And somehow they're going to work Mary Poppins into the plot line. The magical nanny shows up and saves the day.
And then Carole King sings the last number.
Yeah. And Mary Poppins flies off with the dragon.
Hey, what is it, that last season?
It's going to be April 14th. That's when it's going to start. And they put out a new teaser trailer. If you're a big, huge Game of Thrones fan, I'm sure you're going to be incredibly excited by it all.
You know, it'd be my idea of a rough elevator ride if the elevator got stuck and all I could watch was Roma and Game of Thrones. That would be tough for me. Lin-Manuel Miranda doing a good thing.
He is, he left the lead role of Hamilton in New York after winning a Tony Award, Pulitzer Prize, Grammy Award, lots of other big awards. Left the show in 2016. For the first time since then, he returned to the role of Alexander Hamilton in Puerto Rico. It's going to be 23 special performances there, and every single penny will go to hurricane relief, since there hasn't been a lot of money going to help people who are still without power, still without water, all this time after Hurricane Maria. So the money will go to them. The money will go to struggling artists in Puerto Rico. A huge standing ovation over the weekend for the opening night. Drapes himself in the Puerto Rican flag and says that he is honored to be doing this. He hopes that the people of Puerto Rico enjoy it. And tickets are going for like $5,000 a ticket in some cases.
And people flying in from the States, obviously.
Some are politicians who are taking some heat for going to Puerto Rico to see a musical while the government is shut down.
Yeah, but yet they're supporting it.
Yes,
it's a weekend.
So,
right?
Yeah, but even still, no, it started. There's actually performances for 17 days or something, right?
Yeah, 23 days.
Yeah.
Yeah, but if you went this weekend, you can go on the weekend to Puerto Rico's.
Puerto Rico's not open on the weekend. No, it's this weekend, but politicians are actually giving charitable donations by going as opposed to, say, going on a trip with hookers and liquor.
Oh, okay. Got it.
By the way, Dean, I'm trying
to... Manuel Miranda's new
Hookers and Liquor.
Hookers and Liquor.
I'm trying to get Mark Carmen a best man for this wedding, and Dan Hampton from the Bears said he wouldn't touch it.
Oh.
So what about you? Will you be his best man?
Come on, Dean. Fantastic. I'd be happy to.
Oh!
Yeah.
Well, good news.
What would you...
I've been a best man many, many times. I got to say, I'm a damn good best man.
Are you a perfect record?
Of the marriages
lasting? Are the
people
still married, yeah.
No, none of them are.
Hey, Chelsea, sign up now.
Dean could be huge. I mean, we could get some celebs to come out,
yeah, right?
We could get Denzel or whoever.
I'll tell you right now.
Cooper and Lady Gaga to show up.
If Dean is your best man, I'll come to the wedding and I'll bring a guest.
Wow. Really raising the bar.
But have you been invited, though?
No, absolutely not.
I got Steve plus three. Whoever, you know, his whole crew.
No. Mark knows the rule with me. Invite me. I won't show up. I just want to be
invited. Yeah, count me in. I've got a stripper on my speed dial.
Once again, enough about Larry. Thanks, buddy.
Yeah.
That's Dean Richards. It's 8:34, and your headlines are next at 7:20 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio,
Steve Cochran on 7:20 WGN. La, 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 la.
La, 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 la. All right, 8:45 after 9 o'clock. Are we getting the fiancé? What do we know?
The fiancé will be joining us at 9:40.
Okay.
And before she joins us, you can check out the photo gallery at WGMRadio.com on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and the WGM Radio Facebook page and Twitter, obviously.
Mark Carmen, they're on the end. Wave, Mark, to everybody watching.
Hey, everybody, how are you? Tough booking to get her to come on, Steve, but she loves your show, so she was willing to do it.
Mark Carmen got engaged this weekend to the lovely Chelsea. And our next guests are going to be invited to your wedding. I don't want to put that kind of pressure on you, but I think that's the right thing
Steve
to do.
Steve has invited every guest that's been on the program to Mark's wedding.
Yeah.
He's actually looking for best men.
Yeah.
I guess if Dean doesn't want to do it.
You thinking Ryan Robbins?
Yeah, Ryan can fill the role.
Yeah, Ryan Robbins, who plays Noah Funk, and the lovely and talented Alex Paxton Beasley, who plays Anna Funk, are here. They're clearly fighting because you're sitting between them.
I know, I separated them.
And Pure launches Wednesday night on WGN America, which is great. Congratulations to
Wednesday
both of you.
The 23rd. So.
It's next Wednesday.
Yes, next Wednesday.
That's not good for me. Can we move it up? No, I'll make an exception.
Steve.
Nice to see you guys.
Thank you very much. Nice to see you.
Happy to be here.
Thanks for getting up.
Oh, yeah. It's no problem for me. Ryan is on a bit of a time change.
I would think a nice Mennonite pastor like him would be up early helping people.
Did you just hear Alex? She said, oh, yeah. She's from Toronto.
Yeah.
So we had a little Canadian.
Congratulations.
Ryan is also from Canada, but not Toronto.
Where in Canada?
The West Coast, a little town called Squamish.
Oh, so we got a Vancouver Canucks fan and a Maple Leafs fan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, you're both wrong.
Hey, man, I also love the Blackhawks. They're having a bit of a
rough
this season. Maybe I won't bring it up.
We'll bring it up.
We're the Blackhawks station. You can bring it up here anytime. All right, let's set up Pure here. You guys are a married couple in a tough town. Well, a nice town, but a town that's been overrun by drugs. It's a story of a lot of Midwest towns. There's a Mexican drug cartel involved in this story, but just when you think you get it right, nice Mennonite pastor over here, things really start to get ugly. Is that a fair description?
That's a very good description.
Yeah,
pull that
microphone
close to you, by the way, if you would. And obviously that creates pressures on the marriage. I'm sure there's threats that go on and all that. This is a heavy deal drama.
Yeah, it really is. We have to figure out how to navigate all those differing situations and, you know, what we're telling each other and not telling each other. It's pretty intense.
And the scripts have to be good because, you know, there's intense dramas all over and you don't want the story to feel like it's been told before.
And that's where we get really fortunate. The scripts are amazing on the show. Like Michael Amo, incredible, incredible writer, incredible visionary. And it's all based on real events. So that was a good
sad but true.
Yeah.
This is shot in Nova Scotia. It's got a Canadian connection. Does it help you, as both of you being from Canada, to actually shoot in your home country?
Well, I mean, shooting in Halifax and in that region is just, it's such a dream. Like, the people there, our crew there is just so fantastic. They're probably the best crew I've ever worked with in my life. The landscape that we shoot in it sort of takes away a lot of the acting required, right? Because we're in this beautiful home space, and then what we're doing in that land is so difficult and, you know, violent and dangerous and all of that. So the juxtaposition of that is really fun.
It's a little cliche, but the town itself is a character in the show, and you can see the difference between the way that we shoot it. Is there's the men Mennonite world, and then there's the Auslander world, the outsider world, and they're shot very differently, very purposefully shot differently. And so when you watch the show, you really see the dynamic of the two worlds, the slow pace, the fast pace, the warm colors, the cold colors. And so it's really visually stunning as well.
That's the amazing thing, right, about doing a project like this, whether it's a movie. Cause people all the time, they go to a movie, they go, how'd they screw this up? You have to have a great director, and then a great cinematographer, and great crew, as you're talking about, a great place to do the show or the movie, and great acting. Other than that, it's a piece of cake.
Well, and we're lucky on our show because, you know, we do six episodes. We're able to have the same director and creative team in almost every single episode. So we have a real continuity of vision.
Right.
There's a coherency to, like, the visual language of the show. Ken Girardi, our director and the executive producer, one of the executive producers of the show, he's making, like, a visual language to help tell the story. Because as Ryan's saying, where we are in each, you know, realm, each scene of the story is really important. It tells viewers a lot about what's going on.
How do you draw on having a fake troubled marriage? Do you go back to relationships you've had in the past, or what do you do?
I had a troubled marriage.
So there you go. There, congratulations.
I mean, for me, actually, it's more about how untroubled the foundation of this marriage is.
Right.
I think the foundation of this marriage is really, really strong and really loving. And so having that as a touchstone as everything around us blows up, That's what works for me.
So you've already been... Oh, I'm sorry. You've already been picked up. You already know you're going to do a second season. How much time is in between? You were talking about that language that's happened with the six episodes. How much time in between? How difficult will that be for the second one to maintain that visual language?
Well, we've actually already shot the second season.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So we had about, what, Rye, like a year and a half?
Yeah, about a year and a half between the two. And then we shot the second season recently. We're not sure yet where the break is going to be, but the second season, where it picks up, is going to be... When you've seen the first season, you're going to be just completely
overwhelmed
and astounded. Yeah, it's completely different. Everything's on its head. Yeah,
Stick around for a second. You're here. You got up. Stick around. Pure Wednesday, the 23rd.
Correct.
And then can we binge? Gonna load them up all at the same time? Do we know? We gonna binge, or are we going one at a time?
Weekly.
It's classic.
And it's 9 o'clock. 9 o'clock Wednesday, the 23rd.
It might be a bit too intense to binge. That's what I think.
That's a good point.
You know, sometimes you want to, like, space it out a little bit.
That's a good point. Very well done by you. Studio ought to throw a little extra in. Again, it's called Pure. We'll talk more in just a second.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Pure launches Wednesday, January 23rd on WGN America. S-word by name. What time, Sandberg? What time is Pure going to air?
9 p.m.
9 p.m. Chicago time? Okay.
9 p.m. Chicago.
It's a little late for me, but I'm willing to stay up because I like these guys. Here in studio is Ryan Robbins. Ryan plays Noah Funk. What's the greatest thing about Noah Funk?
Oh, man, the greatest thing about Noah Funk is his sort of tenacity. He's relentless in his cause and his pursuit. I think he's fun because he's always trying to find his way back to God, which is sort of a great excuse for doing a lot of things.
And I have a sense that Anna Funk, Alex Paxton Beasley, relentless in trying to do the right thing, even if you have to do the wrong thing to get there?
Yeah, Anna is, she's incredibly pragmatic, and she's going to get the job done. She's going to protect her family and take care of her kids. She's endlessly resourceful, which
right.
I think comes from running that kind of household.
You're a Mennonite pastor, and that religion is one that is not necessarily top of mind to everyone who might be watching WGN America. How much do you as actors have to go in to understand the religion, the culture that surrounds that, to be able to play these roles?
Well, I'll tell you, we know a lot more now than we did when we first started. It was a bit of an uphill battle at first, just, you know, not having access to a Mennonite community early on. We were very fortunate. We have a Mennonite advisor on the show. Her name's Laura Cahoot. She is phenomenal. We wouldn't be here without her. She sort of teaches us the ins and outs, the language. The language doesn't exist in recorded record, or it didn't when we started. So it's a language that we have to learn. Just certain behaviors, there's certain affections that, you know, you they're not affectionate. No, you wouldn't say that. And with the writing, it's that. Yeah. And she's been outstanding and very helpful. And plus, we have, honestly, this is the greatest cast I've ever worked with. You know, cast, crew, everybody's been amazing, but this cast is incredibly special.
How big a role do the kids play?
The kids are play a very large role, especially, I mean, they both have their own storylines and arcs, but especially in terms of crafting our family together, that's been a really interesting journey. We've spent a lot of time together, the four or five of us, with Gord, who plays Abel. Just discovering that family unit has been really interesting. Because, of course, they would spend almost all of their time together, you know? Because beyond being devout Mennonites, they're also farmers. So there's a lot of day-to-day that has to be done, and the only people that can do it are us.
In reference to what Justin was talking about, are you a spiritual guy? Are you a church-going type? Where you knew a little bit about the rhythms of that?
No, not a church-going guy. I mean, I knew it.
So this was like learning from scratch, then?
Well, yeah, I mean, I suppose a spiritual guy, but I'm not a religious person. I love the idea of the simple life. I love the idea of living off-grid. I live in a small town in the mountains back home, and I gravitate to the simplicity and the ease of that. And the whole Mennonite thing, the Anabaptist idea fascinates me. Mm-hmm. The idea that they simply thought, I don't want to have to my child to be baptized as a baby. Well, they should choose their baptism at 17, and for that thought, they were burned at the stake and crucified. And that's how the whole Anabaptist thing started. And then you split off to the Amish and the Mennonites, the Hutterites, the Quakers.
Look at you. You're Wikipedia. You're walking Wikipedia.
That's Mrs. Cahoot.
I'm a massive history fan, and I love the history of religion as well. So that it's really easy for us to help, right? Into.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. Really?
Well, thanks.
And congratulations.
Thank you so much.
We didn't want to blow this up, but the first 12 seasons have been shot, and they're all fantastic. The show will be on forever.
I wish.
Yeah, oh, man, we would make this show forever if we could.
We really would.
It's so satisfying.
And what are you guys doing next, you know? Because you have a little bit of downtime between seasons.
I don't know what I'm doing in terms of acting, but this job was a dream for me in a lot of ways, because I love to do all of the things that Anna does. So I'm like, I'm quilting and I'm learning pottery.
Well, that's the cool thing about a successful series, right? You can take your downtime and actually have downtime.
Exactly. And we'll have downtime, but also do things that feel like they're an investment in the world that we were just talking, Ryan and I, like we really hope that we get to go again, because we both want to invest much more time in speaking the language, because, you know, we speak it quite a bit on the show. First season was an uphill battle. Second season, we had a better foundation, although it's still, you know, whisper thin, but we want to dive even deeper into that, because it's so interesting, it's so hard, and it's really...
And it's respect for the culture.
Well, of course, absolutely. it's an ongoing journey for us learning about this. You know, we came from zero, and we're trying to continuously get better and learn more and more and more.
I don't know if Ryan talked about this, but we were talking off air, and we'd like you to teach us quilting during the break.
Okay, I mean, again, like, I'm a bit of a dilettante when it comes to quilting, but I'll teach you the little that I do know.
Quilting and pottery, I think that was the two in order, weren't they?
Yeah, follow closely by needlepoint.
I mean, needlepoint. Okay.
Now we're getting there.
Guys, listen.
Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
And glad to be a part of it here at Tribune Media, WGN America. And you guys are welcome here anytime. I don't care what you're doing. Come back.
I love it.
Hey, thanks.
Yeah, we put this view in for you.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Nova Scotian. So, and it's next Wednesday night. Go to WGNAmerica.com for all your details. Next Wednesday night at 9?
9 p.m.
9 p.m. That's the 23rd. All right. What are we doing? News? Taking a break. We'll come back with the news in the WGN Radio Newsroom.
From the Allstate Skyline Studio, it's the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Hi, everybody, on CLTV, there and there and there. And hey, Mark Carmen's here for Dave Ennett. Will Dave Ennett be back tomorrow?
Yes, he will, Steve.
And then you're back on Friday?
Dave will be off in New Jersey for Rutgers and Northwestern.
Hey, Steve, can I do a little a show meeting on the air right now.
Sure.
Because I just saw this. Mark Harmon, our producer, Fawn, never got your sports.
Oh, no.
CL TV.
Oh, no.
And Mary,
Fawn, we're sorry.
I apologize,
Mary, when
Fawn.
You go back to your room, you need to push your computer down because they can't see your face on CL TV.
How many times do we have to talk to you two?
Well, I don't like you guys watching me eat.
Okay, but look, there's Fawn there. I want you to look at Fawn. I want you to tell her I'm sorry about my computer.
I can't see Fawn.
This camera right here.
Oh,
or that
Fawn.
Camera over there.
I'm sorry.
All right, there you go.
And Fawn, it's going to be, we're going to do some Bulls, Blackhawks, some Bears, and then some Bulls.
Let Fawn know I also turned on my light.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Fawn, I apologize.
This is January, what, 13th, 14th?
14th.
And
it's Julie Stern's birthday, the woman that makes this whole business get paid for.
Oh, yeah. She takes care of all the commercials being put in the appropriate
Happy
spots.
Birthday,
Happy birthday, Julie. Was she 27, 28?
I think so.
Yeah. There's a bunch of stuff turning 50 this year. A few of these surprised me. First manned moon landing. Why did I always think this was 1968? I watched it. I was a little kid. I had a lot going on. But Neil Armstrong, Buzz Aldrin, and can anyone name the guy that didn't get to walk on the moon from that crew? Anyone?
Pick me.
Oh,
VR guy?
Steve Grzanich knows.
Steve.
Michael Collins.
That's exactly right. Collins.
Do you think you thought it was 1968 because that was when all the hype about it going to happen the next year?
I guess I must have been busier in 1969. I mean, I was eight then. I had a lot going on. Sesame
I was
Street.
Still in the playpen at home.
Yes, of course you were. Sesame Street turns 50. Monty Python's Flying Circus turns 50. Here's one you didn't see coming. The Internet turns 50. What? From 1969?
Yeah.
Seems April 7th, 1969 is the web's official birth date. That's the first official request for comments or RFC that was published, which included research proposals and ideas for the creation of true internet technology. It was still 30 years away before really becoming mainstream.
That feels like a stretch.
What, the date?
The kernel. The kernel of when the web started. It was an idea, and it started in 1960.
Right. Once like you get Benjamin Franklin invented electricity by being struck by lightning.
Right,
come on. 50 years ago, Woodstock. Obviously, you hear a lot about that coming up later in the year. And here's a product that wasn't at Woodstock. 50-year anniversary of Flavor Ice. Man, I love that when I was a kid.
When I went to high school, my friend Megan O'Connell, her dad, Bob O'Connell, he worked for Flavor Ice. So if you
what?
Yes. Yeah, so when you were at the O'Connell's.
All there, the grape or cherry you wanted?
Yes. There, I think it was either the garage freezer or the basement freezer, where he also had Beatles drums, but we weren't allowed to touch those. But we had endless supply of Flavor Ice, and it was the greatest.
Speaking of the Beatles rooftop concert 50 years ago in 1969.
Such a great fur coat on, I think it was Lennon. Hit
the
The
Gap.
Slowly.
Oh, boy.
Right?
I was feeling
it. It was a fur coat on Lennon. Yeah. Good memory.
Yeah, that's a great video.
I'm looking at a picture right here. The Gap turns 50.
My religion.
How much could the t-shirts have been?
Yeah, everything on the Gap, like the button on the jeans, it says 1969. And so everybody knows that.
And where was the first Gap store?
Texas, right?
San Francisco.
I thought it was Texas.
They still have that store, right?
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
My religion teacher, Father Mike, in high school, he worked at the Gap in Texas when he was in high school.
Wow. That's huge.
I know. It was.
Father Mike.
I was like, tell me about the denim wall. How organized was it?
They did records and tapes at the Gap when it first opened.
Sure.
It was a record store.
50 years ago, PBS started.
Oh.
First time it was funded by the government with extensive plans to do the same. And every time a budget comes up.
I was going to say, every year since, they've been trying to defund it.
Yeah. And that's why all your PBS friends go on TV and go, if you just help this time. 50 years of Wendy's.
So good.
Is that your favorite fast food stuff?
It's up there. Yeah. I mean, let's not. It's like, you know, your great brothers. They're all fantastic, right?
Good. They're all good.
Is Wendy still alive? The girl Wendy?
Yeah. Dave's gone, but she's alive. Peter Dinklage turns 50.
What's he do?
He's the guy from Game of Thrones.
I love all the things we're talking about, the 50th anniversary.
And, then like,
and
a guy.
Peter Dinklage.
Oh, wait.
He's 50.
Okay. These two things related.
Peter Dinklage. Jennifer Aniston turns 50.
Is she 50 this year?
Yep.
Oh, that's your favorite, Samber.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, mine too.
Funyuns turn 50.
Oh, I love Funyuns.
Oh, those are the worst.
I used to love those.
They are so nasty.
They're just like garlicky, salty, nasty. Delicious.
Oh, I can't believe they're still around.
The Brady Bunch started 50 years ago.
What's your big problem over there, Mark? Is it with
I'm
a
just
Funyun?
Trying to make sure that
everybody knows what Funyuns are. It's the circular onion nasty chip thing.
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
What makes it?
Made
have
of
you
motor
eaten
oil.
One? What? It's just like a Cheeto, but it has like no, almost like garlicky taste.
They're nasty. There's a warning on the back. It says it'll kill you if you have four of these.
Yeah, you stink for a week.
I used to eat those at softball games.
The
little Funyun on the bench.
The warning just says stinky.
Yes. The Beatles broke up shortly after that rooftop concert, and this is also the 50th anniversary of John Lennon and Yoko Ono's bed-in, which in 1969 seemed like a good idea.
I stayed in the hotel in Amsterdam where they did that bed-in.
Were you in the room?
No. I think that's a very expensive room to get that room. Yeah.
This I didn't know. The ATM machine. I don't remember ever as a kid my parents going, I got to stop and get money.
Never.
On September 2nd, 1969, the country's first ATM started kicking out cash.
I was writing checks for packs of gum in the 80s to try and get $20 back. That was the ATM. You went to Jewel or Dominick's, and you're like, I just have a pack of gum. Then you write the check for over. That was ATMs when I was a kid in the 80s.
That's a brilliant move. I like that move.
Oh, that's classic.
Never thought of that.
Yeah.
50 years of Tic Tacs. Tic Tac started 50 years ago.
Overrated.
I love an orange Tic Tac, but I use
my favorite is the rattling in the pocket. The Seinfeld episode, of course. But who thought that could have gone bad? A bunch of little pellets in a plastic container. Why would they make noise?
Now they have giant ones.
They have really giant Tic Tacs.
Big Tic Tacs. Mm-hmm.
That's not necessary. The Godfather turns 50. The best-selling novel that would become one of the great movies of all time. The Concorde turns 50. The Concorde was going to be the way to go from New York to Paris and back in about 12 minutes. Not so much. Paul Rudd turns 50. Do you know Paul Rudd is 50? Because he's going to be at Peter Dinklage's house with Jennifer Aniston.
I just love it. We're like, all these great anniversaries. And Paul Rudd.
Oh, and I think Jennifer Lopez, too, turns 50.
Mm. I know. My husband turns 50 this year.
That's number 38.
I thought so. Pap Oil.
Locally, we had the Democratic Convention in 68, but in 1969 were the Days of Rage, which was the fall of 1969, where led by Bill Ayers and a lot of the Weather Underground, there was mass protests, violent protests in Chicago over the war in Vietnam.
And speaking of that, Capri Sun turns 50.
And Paul Rudd turned 50. Peter Dinklage.
Led Zeppelin turns 50. Man, is he a good... He's really a good musician, I think, Led.
Yes. Yeah.
Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, 50.
I thought Capri Sun was invented in 87, but okay.
Turns out you're wrong.
It was invented when they went to the moon, right? Isn't that why they invented it?
I don't know. I'm already gone from that. The hideous Manson family murders are 50, and Scooby-Doo is 50 as well. They're back-to-back.
The weirdest list ever.
Would love a Scooby snack right now.
Scooby Shaggy. So there you go. That's just some of the things turning 50 this year. Happy birthday, Peter Dinklage, Paul Rudd, and Pat Boyle.
And landing on the moon.
Pat Boyle. There
yeah,
you go.
There you go.
He's turning 50 on your birthday.
That's right. That's right. So is Billy Crystal, and so is Rick Dees.
Yeah. And is Einstein also your birthday?
Yep. Einstein, Billy Crystal, Rick Dees, Quincy Jones, Pat Boyle, and me.
Wow. That's quite a list. You have that whole memorized.
Adrian Zemed. What? Remember Adrian Zemed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he's also turning 50 that day. I remember I met Rick Dees, and we were talking, and I said, you know, you and I have the same birthday. And he went, hey, I got to go. There's somebody over there.
He's like, I got to sing a song about a duck. What was this, Rick Dees?
That's a great
No,
song.
That was...
That was Rick Dees.
Yeah,
disco duck. Yeah. All right, 9:23. What time are we talking to the fiance?
She's going to be on at 9:40, Steve.
Over the weekend, Mark Carman got engaged. We'll see. Now, this is Saturday night.
Mm-hmm.
So we're at about 36 hours, and so far, still on.
So far, so good.
Okay.
It was a little dicey this morning. She wasn't thrilled with the wake-up time. Are you really going to continue to get up this early? So,
oh, man. Life changer.
After the apartment deal, did you go to dinner after that?
Yeah.
And that was at Bistro Campagna?
Yes.
And so did you walk over there, or did you limo it for the block that you live from there?
We used a car. Okay. We drove. Yeah.
Oh, that's boring.
Yeah, it was very boring. Sorry. I had nothing better there. No limo.
I should have got a limo. See, you should call me. You get a limo for that one block to go to the restaurant. That would have been funny and expensive, but funny.
It's but a good bit.
Yeah, a good bit.
If you had suggested that, I think I would have done it, for real.
I didn't know you were doing this.
Yeah, right. It's my bad. I stayed in my... I didn't get enough support. I did this all on my own. Yeah. That's why I somewhat...
Well, you didn't tell anybody. That's why you had no support.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Make it seem like it helped you.
And just to be clear, you don't want to get up this early, so if Enid were to leave us tomorrow, you don't want the gig?
And I didn't say that.
Okay.
There's a photo gallery at WGMRadio.com.
The wife or the gig, which is it?
Mark Carmen's engagement, WGMRadio.com.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
We didn't talk about the Goose Island 43-yard field goal challenge this weekend because nobody made it, and a lot of people sucked, and it was kind of a anticlimactic ending to the deal.
We mentioned
Carm made it over
in,
the fence.
Yeah, we mentioned it in Carm's engagement story.
Yeah, briefly. And I guess briefly is probably what it deserved. But you actually got in.
I did.
Were you like in a celebrity section or something?
They allowed the media to kick before the 100 got up there. So
and how close were you? Did you
really
clank? Did you thump it off the crossbar?
I think it would have been good from 3 yards, maybe. I possibly. I'm
but
not
you're,
sure.
You're an athlete. What was the problem?
Well, Steve, it was snowing out there.
No, let me tell you what the problem is. No respect for kickers. It's harder than it looks. Not that Corey Booker shouldn't have made it, Cody Parkey, but for a bunch of amateurs to line up a 43-yarder and think they can make it,
I think in Philadelphia, what they should do this week is the brewery there should do catch an 8-yard pass.
Right, without kicking it for a pick.
If you know, like Alshon Jeffery missed that, but it should just be a catch an 8-yard pass.
Yeah. I was pretty amazed of some of the people that stepped up, and they're like, you have no chance to put one foot in front of the other. You're really gonna. Why would you get in this line and
how long did it take to have 100 people kick?
I would say at least 2 hours. Right, that's a little bit over a minute.
How miserable were the Goose Island people by the end?
They were trying to stay positive.
The videos of the people falling and/or kicking the ball sideways and whatnot were entertaining me all Saturday night. I could not. The one guy that tees off and just kicks the guy immediately to his left. I don't know how the ball ricocheted that way. I've watched it on at least 10 or 15 times.
It's harder than it looks.
It's so funny. It's good stuff. These guys sliding on their butts.
Now, here's some athletic thing that you can actually get involved in. You can climb the stairs with Mary Vandeveld.
Ooh.
For the American Lung Association.
You will probably pass me up.
Challenge, the Fight for Air Climb Challenge 2019. Are you on Enid's team?
I think we're just having one team this year, and we'll be like co-captains of the team, and Patty too. So I'm pretty sure that we are just going to have one team because we tried the two-team thing, and we had two different T-shirts that got out of control. People couldn't decide which team to be on.
That was like a West Side Story gang fight between Patty Vasquez and Dave Innitt.
It was getting kind of ugly, so I think that's why. And then WGN TV will join us as well.
They have their own team?
I'm not sure. I think they're going to be with us as one team.
Who's coming over
together
from TV?
Lourdes, probably.
Okay.
Lourdes Duarte. Ben Bradley, I'm sure, will be doing it. Mm-hmm.
Because Lourdes is doing it? Because he wants to make sure he's with her all the time?
Yeah.
Ben.
They like to
sit
togetherness. We'll try to get Andrea to do it this year, but I don't think she'll do it.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, she usually covers it, doesn't she?
Yes, she says she's covering it, and then she climbs one and then leaves.
Listen, you can count on me not to be there. But I will contribute.
But you know what? It's something you should do when it's something out of everyone's comfort zone.
Uh-huh.
I mean, who wants to be in a stairwell with a bunch of people running and kind of
everything on a Sunday morning is out of my comfort zone.
Yeah, and it's on a Sunday morning. But you know what? You got to do stuff out of a lot of people on their bucket list this year are saying, you know, I'm doing something out of my comfort list.
I salute all of you.
I'm going to jump off a plane and
do this. I salute all of you.
Yeah.
I'm not doing it.
It's a tremendous feeling to accomplish.
And it feels great when you're done. I mean, you feel great and everybody else, you know. And
you know how great I feel when I didn't do it at the end? It's fantastic. But I'm not saying don't do it. I'm saying do it. Do it.
And it's quicker than you'd think. It doesn't take as much time.
It takes like a half an hour once you get going. They alter the starting times so there's not 100 people on.
And it's faster than taking the elevators because the elevators, there's a line.
My favorite part is trying to get Dean to interview me afterwards for my amazing accomplishment.
Uh-huh.
He never does, but I just walk in there. I try to. You know.
We all walk in there and he ignores us pretty much.
Well, you're all sweaty and nasty.
Yeah. But do it. I mean, it's fun.
You should do it. I have an announcement of two surprise guests for this. Two surprise entrants this week.
Really?
Coming up later this week. Two. Not one.
There was one. Now it's two.
Now it's two.
So you're going to go to WGMRadio.com/events for fightforairclimb.org.
That's how you enter?
Yep.
And if you go,
and
you will see our list of team members on there as well.
Yes. 2,340 steps in total. You can climb 1, 2, 3, or all four towers. Fightforairclimb.org. Headlines next on 720 WGN.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
accidentally in love.
Well, I had a busy weekend. How about you? But none of us had a weekend quite like Mark Carmen. Mark Carmen, what'd you do Saturday?
I was in the field goal competition at Goose Island.
What'd you do that mattered?
That's your lead? I propose, Steve.
Yay! And the good news is she apparently said yes. I say apparently because we haven't gotten confirmation yet. You could be just saying that as the lovely Chelsea joins us now. Chelsea, did you in fact say yes?
I did.
Congratulations! You know, we're big fans of Carms here. I don't know how you feel about him, but... You know, he's a good-looking guy, he's a nice guy, he's a funny guy, he's easy to work with. What do you like about him?
Huh. What don't I like about him?
Oh, okay, well, that's very nice.
Wow.
I thought was going to come back with, can I get back to you?
Mm-hmm. Good answer.
When did you know he was the guy?
Huh. good question.
There was no lightning bolt moment?
No, not one moment. I think just, you know, right when I met him, there was something special about him, and it was kind of just organically happened.
What about you, Carm?
Organically happened on J Swipe, Steve. It was organic. We both swiped, and then there was this moment, and I think her fourth question to me was, so are you afraid of commitment? And we've seen that play out over the last, 22 months.
Clearly you're not.
Well,
not stepping up.
Well, as of Saturday,
we'll see what happens.
we have taken a major step forward. That is true.
Now, how does your family feel about him? And tell us the truth.
My family loves him. Actually.
Oh, that's a shame.
Yeah,
Chelsea, let's get down to business here. Let's talk about how you now have this gorgeous ring on your hand. How has life been with a ring since Saturday?
I can't stop looking at it. It's beautiful. I could never have wanted anything else, and I'm shaking still a little bit.
Yeah.
That's nice.
If everyone wants to see a photo at WGNradio.com, there's a cute picture of both of their hands touching in the ring.
Oh,
he told us on the air and off the air how nervous he was. Did you have a sense that he was being a dork and something was up on the Saturday, or did you know it was coming?
No, I didn't that Saturday. I was actually sort of annoyed with him. And
sounds like that happens a lot.
Yeah, in the morning, you know, had a little bicker, and then we're planning date night as usual, and tried to ask if I wanted a drink in his place, and pretty much was like, no, your liquor's probably stale. You haven't been there in, 2 years? and then he pulled the guilt trip and was like, you have never come up. Just come up and have one drink. If you don't like it, we'll leave.
Ah, good play, dude, because I didn't understand if there'd been a dead body in there or whatever, because he told us that you wouldn't go there, and we didn't know why.
Well, I don't think he was the freshest alcohol, but...
Okay, so it's all about the booze. Okay.
Lack of fresh alcohol, Steve. Add that to the list.
Yeah, put it down for
wedding. So when you walk in and see rose petals, are you like, oh, obviously this is happening, or are you like, this is a mess?
No, I knew right away when I saw the rose petals. And he was shaking, too.
I was?
No.
did he cry a lot or just a little?
He cried at dinner, he said.
Cried at dinner, yeah.
What, he was attorney? Stop answering for
him. I'm sorry. Well, he said it. Chelsea cried a little on the scene, and then he cried a little at dinner is
okay,
what I
believe. Okay, well, it'll all be in your full report.
I like it, Mary. Thank you.
No problem, Chelsea.
All right, so let's help you both out here. What is the one thing about him that you'd love to see him change to make for a more harmonious home?
Good question, Steve.
And is an animal involved? Like
stuffed animal. Yeah.
No, she loves the duck.
I love the duck.
All right. So, what's one thing about? We personally can't imagine anything about Carms that would.
Carm.
He's sweating. Imagine anything.
Did he fall off his chair?
Anything about Carms that could
Mary.
That could be annoying. But is there one thing about him you'd love to change?
Go for it. Feel free.
Let it out early.
My vision is that he would be more organized.
Oh,
that's a good one.
Yeah.
How disorganized are you?
Pretty out there, Steve. You know, I got it all in my head. It's right here. I know exactly where I got to be at all times. It just sometimes doesn't work out.
What's quite an example way. Of your disorganization? You miss meetings and things, or what?
Meetings, calls, lunch.
Never WGN, though.
Never. Yeah. There you go.
And I'm guessing he forgets to convey all the time because he's got a crazy schedule.
Yeah.
So you've got to be very communicative with your partner about, hey, I'm going to be here.
I'm going to go kick
this,
a field
this.
Goal in the snow, right?
Yeah. So I'm guessing Chelsea gets a lot of, oh, I forgot to tell you. Today I'm going to go X, Y, and Z it, you know? So
can I tell you, Mark, the key to success and harmony is communication, and the more you communicate, the better. I'm telling you, buddy.
Okay,
Chelsea, so I'm trying for you.
Let's talk positive instead of the let's talk about what's next, Justin, for you guys. Like, is it going to set a date? Is there a certain type of wedding you want to do? Is it going to be here in
Chicago?
Why
are you asking him? He doesn't have a call.
Well, I'm throwing it out to both.
And their attorney, I may weigh in as well.
Go ahead, Chelsea. What do you got?
Chelsea, what do you allege to include Mark in on?
Everything. I don't know what we're gonna
stop
do
it.
I'm not sure.
As long as he shows up on time, it'll be fine. The rest is up to you.
I don't know, though. In 2019, you know how like guys are in the delivery room and they do stuff, like I think guys are expected to be a little bit more a part of this than
look at me. You're telling me that if you got married in 2019, you would want help making the decisions?
No, but I'm not a...
it depends on the level of help. I got married in 2004. I was a part, but I wasn't necessarily the decision maker. But you go along, you yes and the decision,
well,
and
yeah,
you
that's,
put some
that's
execution
fine.
Into
like
it.
Like men go to showers now and stuff. And all
which, by the way, should be outlawed. That's
what?
Ridiculous.
Right. Yeah, the men go to the showers.
Well, Chelsea, we've seen the pictures. We think Mark is very lucky, and he's way over his skis. And we wish you guys nothing but happiness.
Thank you, Steve.
Hey, Chelsea.
I really appreciate it.
How was that the day after brunch? Because that took organizing from him. So
that
included your family, right?
Yes, it did. I will definitely give him points for that.
Well,
it was very nice. It was very nice. We were a little late, but all turned out well.
We were late.
I think as long as...
25 minutes.
I think as long as Carms continues to be charming, delightful, Mark Carman, you can take care of the rest. I know it's a lot of pressure, Chelsea, but I think it's the only way this is going to work.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Congratulations. We love you guys together. That's great.
Good job, babe.
Oh, thanks, guys.
See you later.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Wow, is she nice? Way too good for you.
Right. No, I'm very lucky.
I'd give her a chance to get out now before it's too late.
I do, Steve. I remind her daily.
Don't listen to Uncle Steve either. Be curious and open about the opportunity
to be involved. How old do you think I am?
Be involved in this wedding. Right? The idea, like, right away, like, you don't want to be involved. Like, no, get into it, man. That's a lot of, like, go to the flowers place, you know, do all that kind of stuff. It's fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Definitely get involved in every decision you're not going to be a part of. Definitely.
I'll tell you right now, you can cut budget by no flowers. So I'd pitch that.
Okay. What about the dress? So get involved in the dress.
Oh, yeah. Definitely get involved in the dress.
Don't go to the dress.
To every fitting. No. Chime in. Absolutely.
Though I did watch a Say Yes to the Dress 2 weekends
Never
ago.
Never miss it.
Say Yes to the Dress. Justin loves Say Yes to the Dress.
I never miss it.
But I watched one, and the fiance was there. She said, he's my best friend, and we do everything together, and so he picked the dress.
You know why the fiance was there? Because she said, you're going. Twice, the fiance.
It was at Kleinfeld's. Do you think you'll go to Kleinfeld's?
Oh, I hope so.
Long history with Kleinfeld's. Love that place. Never heard of it before in my life.
In New York.
Oh, okay. That's where they shoot the Say Yes to the Dress. You can also go to the Kleinfeld's in Atlanta, I feel like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, there's one there, too.
Well, now I get it, and I get why I can't win in the land. He better fly 3 rings of champion on his hand. No Comic Sans, Magic in command. You know, it's all right.
It's all Mark
Carman. It's okay, beat Golden State another way. And we can try to comprehend the L.A. Times, LeBron's our man.
You thought it was nerve-wracking and scary for him to propose? You should see this video. Is this video still up?
It's up there, Steve.
Where do we go?
YouTube Cab for Life would work.
I think live performance? We put it at WGM Radio as well.
Can we get a live performance at the reception?
Not a bad idea.
Didn't you do this for Fan Center?
I did.
God, you know the crazy thing? It's like you're channeling the Bee Gees. You didn't miss a note.
That was a something, Steve.
If you want to see pictures of the happy couple again, Sandberg, where are they?
WGNRadio.com and the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page, Twitter, WGN Radio's Facebook page.
Yeah, there's a lot of questions still I have about wedding planning. You guys are going to have to make this a regular segment where you come on and talk about what you're planning, what's standing in the way, what's the communication like. You heard Chelsea say you need to be more organized, so get it together.
Yeah. There's going to be two engagement parties, is what I'm throwing out there. Two engagement parties,
okay,
probably to come. At least two showers. You've got that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, fantastic news for you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why two engagement parties?
Because they're going to be her group, his group. Uh-huh. I'm guessing they're
you can't
dual.
Do it together, one big party?
I don't know. His guys are...
Guys don't throw engagement parties. Is this all part of the new thing now where you're supposed to invite the bride on the bachelor party night?
I'm just going to let Mary plan everything and feel like she knows what she's doing
I'll run it through him.
Lord Mostly, knows you've done it before.
What I'm surprised is in the photos, you know, they got engaged at Mark's condo. And Mark kind of pitches himself as a live out of his car kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was surprised to see the actual condo was really set up like a total adult.
And there was furniture in it.
Furniture. There's a rug. There's a picture on the
Does
wall.
She know
it looked
that?
Really
Table?
I mean,
did you have Sears come in and just set everything up before they went bankrupt?
They staged
this? Yeah, this is a Rent-A-Center kind of thing.
I'm a little baffled that I'm getting credit for having a rug. Like, we had a real low bar here. There's a rug.
Coming up, Stories That Matter with Steve Bertrand from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio.
I don't know if Chelsea's listening right now, but Mark just hired me to do the wedding as a minister.
Thank you, Steve, for
just
accepting.
Now.
Yeah. You probably should talk to Chelsea about it, but I'm in. I'm fine.
What's your divorce rate at now?
10-1. I'm 10-1.
Wow.
It's pretty good.
And the only
That's
divorce is a guy that was married 3 times.
So you've done 11 weddings, Steve, and 10 are still together?
Yep. And
not bad.
Blissfully happy.
Oh, blissfully happy.
How religion-y do you get?
Whatever you need.
Whatever you need, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
You could do Mennonite?
There was absolutely.
Sure.
There
is
a Mennonite.
Mennonite, women tonight, whatever it takes.
There's a friend of my daughter's who got married in Minneapolis and asked me to do the wedding. And she also had the pastor for the church, lovely woman. And we're standing in the back, and she apparently hadn't been fully briefed because she asked if I was going to wear my robe and vestments.
You should have.
I said, you know what? In the car. Yeah, I'm going to slip those on, but not right now. Mark Carmen again, congratulations.
How about it?
Yeah, pretty
cool.
Wow,
we're proud.
Thanks, everybody. I'm going to go to sleep for a couple of days, and I'll see you back here on Friday.
Yeah, great. Thanks for coming in. Yeah.
A lot of spotlight
so
today.
So much stress about the engagement that
pressure.
You need to sleep it off.
Well, you had to get up so early, you couldn't bask in the engagement.
Right.
Well, your girlfriend's, your fiance's at work. You might want to go home and get organized. That's what I heard.
Yeah,
she did say that. I don't think that's happening.
Wendy, I ran into a friend of yours last night. Took the family out to an expensive dinner at Culver's.
Butter burgers.
And
I love
so
Culver's.
It was Maureen, Amy, and me. And yeah, I'm minding my own business. I'm not hurting anybody. And a guy comes by and he says, "Steve Cochran." And I said, "Move along. I don't talk to people." No, I said, "Yeah, how are you?" And it turns out he's a guy named Joe Castelluccio.
Love Joe Castelluccio.
Went to high school with you. Met his lovely family. Couldn't have been a better guy. His family was great. And man, they all love you.
Excellent. Did they buy your dinner?
Well, no, I wouldn't have let him do that. However, if you go to Culver's and you decide the cod is a good idea, the dinner, it's a lot of fish. So I tried to get her Joe's college age son to eat it because college boys they'll eat anything. There's a lot of leftovers, but no, it was very nice. And a Culver family came over. No, I'm kidding.
Joe, he's a great guy.
He's a good guy. Yeah, the whole Castelluccio family. And weird thing, I don't know if you know this, Italian.
Yeah, yes, they are.
Bill, how are you?
Steve, I'm good.
Nice weekend?
I'm just so excited for Mark.
Who is
it? I gotta be honest. This is great.
We're putting together a party right now, you and I. We're going to be co-chairs of the Mark Carmen
together.
Engagement party.
All right.
I think that Bill and I were sort of, you know, we had a tennis marriage for a little bit, Steve, and so it feels like a divorce for me and Bill right now. It's kind of difficult.
He doesn't seem that upset.
It's not a divorce.
I'm trying to get someone to be the best man. Justin, are you in?
I'm in. I although I've already said my side hustle is planning bachelor parties, so I'd much rather take that role on than best man.
Yeah. Okay, Bill, you want to be best man?
I could do it if you needed me.
Yeah. I need someone.
Because right now it's down to you and Joe Castelluccio. That's the two options we have.
Joe's busy.
Yeah. And I go with Joe. Joe's a good guy. We're back tomorrow.